I'm off for like a whole 5 days after this, so Griffin, you should decide.
Okay. Yes, let's. It's been decided.
Okay.
It's time to podcast.
Do-do-do-do-do.
Jeff Brewer.
Hello. Are we live right now?
We are live.
Fuck it, we'll do it live.
Live.
Starting off with an F-bomb.
Semi-live. Jamie Scherer.
F-bomb.
F-bomb.
This.
My new wrestling name.
The F-bomb or just F-bomb? Yes.
It's my signature move and my name.
Oh, nice. Do you wear a mask?
Hell no, I don't wear
a
mask.
Are you a luchador?
He wears makeup.
I love how their concession to like the growing Latino contingent is just luchadors.
Everybody's a luchador. Yep.
I wish I knew more about that universe because I don't know if I told you guys this, but my dad and I used to watch wrestling together all the time. I think I did. And I miss those days.
I've kind of been thrust like knee deep into it through my work, oddly enough.
Oh yeah,
not really oddly enough.
One of the people I work with is a big wrestling fan, and I've learned more about it. It is a very strange world.
It's awesome. It's action soap operas.
The thing I guess I kind of respect that it's action soap opera. I just don't like how it seems like almost mean in its like. Stereotypes like just all brown people. Well, they like Latinos now, but all, you know, brown people from other countries, like from across the ocean, are bad. Can't trust a Brit. You know, women are
well, that's true. You can't trust a Brit.
Women are fighting dolls. It's just like blech.
Whatever. And the women fighting scene has grown so much, and it's actually gotten really respectful from what it used to be, where it's like, it used to just be a swimsuit competition, but now it's like they have stories, they have characters, they're not just, like, they are...
A league of their own.
Yeah.
They go shopping together.
There's no crying in professional wrestling!
Do they go shopping together?
Only for their corsets, I think. We'll bring in all the hot wrestle talk is Boss Barrel Radio episode 144, your first podcast before E3. Ha, good one.
Not your last.
Yes.
Podcasting all the way there, guys.
No, it is. This is the only one you need.
We're not going to stop until E3 begins.
That's right. This is going to be a 5-day podcast. Doing it for charity.
I'm camping on top of the LA Convention Center.
I'm trying something new tonight. I'm standing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We'll see how this goes.
Did you buy a standing desk, or are you just standing?
I'm standing.
Are you Don Rumselling it?
Yeah, actually, I've got the microphone tipped upside down above my head as if I'm like a power ballad singer singing a sweet something to you right now.
I wish we had a video evidence of this.
Standing is amazing. I was too poor to get a standing desk, so I got like a laptop, like foldable desk, and I put my stuff on top of it, and I stand when I'm studying, and it is amazing. It's incredible.
I would love to have a standing desk at work.
Stand in the place where you are.
Here and now.
Look north.
Now face north, you dumb asshole.
Oh God, you're right.
Can't believe you. You're even more of a fan than me, you jerk.
What album is that off?
That's why you're more of a fan than me.
Green.
Is it spam everywhere? Is it spam? What is it? Ham and pork? That's what it was.
Yes, ham and pork.
Oh, boy.
Guys, I'm predicting this podcast will still be going when I start my Tamagotchi Life download.
Good.
Why are you buying that piece of trash?
Shut your mouth.
Don't do that to yourself.
I'm doing it.
Griffin, no. Are you buying Tamagotchi Life?
No, I'm not. Okay, no.
How many Nintendo points will I get for Tamagotchi Life?
40, I think. I don't know. Depends on
40
what
plus 10?
Yeah, 50, I guess.
So, Griffin, at the end of every year, or no, not at the end, in the summer of every year, June 30th to be exact, if you have enough Nintendo points, you get a piece of trash.
I've done it,
and that date is quick.
I received my trash.
Did you get Punch Out training with Doc Lewis?
No, I received, when I really got into it, I got like a calendar that reached me, I think, 7 months later. So no, I was like, oh, good. My 2013 calendar is in September.
Yeah. No, it was the next year's calendar. But yeah, it takes them a hell of a long time to send your gift.
Mm-hmm. But that statue got Jeff is amazing.
Which one?
The statue.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love the statue.
That was a platinum reward.
That was the best. So I've gotten all the platinum rewards since Club Nintendo started. Which is kind of a sad thing.
It's not sad. You don't say. You have to say that like I got all the platinum rewards since Club Nintendo started.
It means I've spent way too much money on Nintendo in my lifetime.
Buying two copies of Tamagotchi Life, you're gonna see which one's funnier, which one's zanier.
You have to understand. I literally I strategize about when to apply my points.
What?
I have points that I'm holding back until after the year ends, and then I can unleash those points.
Unleash the Kraken!
What the hell? Don't they? If they'll roll off though. So like, if I go out and buy a bunch of Wii games, you can't enter them in anymore.
So eventually they change things, and usually they'll do it right around when the year changes. But I think Wii stuff is still registerable. I can't remember anymore.
But they lower the point values. Yeah.
Well, the point value is lower. Your points never expire, though, as long as you buy Club Nintendo stuff like once every 2 years or something. So it's a pretty good system. I mean, I wish the rewards were a little better.
I think it's a great system. I think it's fantastic. I don't buy enough Nintendo stuff to get the hotness.
And herein lies my dilemma. I am 220 points away from platinum, and that, you know,
that's a lot of points.
It's roughly like $200, and a small, deranged, ridiculous part of me is like, do it.
Have they announced the awards yet?
No, they don't announce them until after the year ends. Oh. So yeah,
so you can't even like make that decision based on that information. You just have to have faith, like all good Nintendo fans do, that what's coming down the pike is awesome.
The pipeline?
The pipeline. I do want Donkey Kong for realsies, and that's $50, so I guess I'll get 50 points for that.
You should get Donkey Kong and then just go through your collection and see if there's something you missed, and then just try to register all that. You'll find shit that you never registered, and then you'll just pop up over 200 in no time.
I don't know. I think I register everything because I'm really neurotic about it.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, but who knows? If I for some reason crazily buy Tamagotchi Life and also Tropical Freeze, then I probably will just get there.
So, what makes you so convinced that it's just a trash game?
Tamagotchi Life?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not. I reserve judgment, but I'll happily pan it like before. You know, before the reviews are in.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I like Progress Quest. That game makes me laugh. I think this is the same thing.
I think it'll be Animal Crossing, except less interactive and more important that you play it for short periods every day.
Here's the problem. I saw an excellent independent movie called The Lunchbox, which you should all see. And before this independent movie, there was a commercial on the screen for Tamagotchi Life. And in this commercial, there was this really annoying 13-year-old girl, and she's like, "Let me tell you about my friend. My friend is Christina Aguilera."
Oh no!
And then a little me of Christina Aguilera pops up, and the me of Christina Aguilera from then on is talking like this: "I am Christina Aguilera. Look what happens when I am on the beach."
That sounds
great. Like, there's like a Christina Aguilera me in a black hat on the beach. And then there's like Justin Bieber, and then they're getting married, and then it cuts back to the girl, and she's like, "Weird things happen in Tamagotchi Life."
Dude, how do you not want this game already? All of this sounds great. Did you watch the video I sent you?
No.
Okay, you need to watch the video. It might change your mind.
It's just like it's fan fiction / fiction, the game.
It's basically not entirely unlike Tamagotchis in that it's only a little bit interactive. Like, you can kind of set up the circumstances, but you can't influence like exactly what happens. And then just kind of zany stuff occurs. Just like lots of like semi-scripted events occur.
Right.
Between your various memes. And it's, you know, the humor is supposed to come from the fact that, like, oh, you know, these are your dudes and they're doing right. funny things and you tweet about it and you know,
yep.
you do the things. Instagram.
Yeah.
MySpace.
Crackle it. Put it on Crackle.
Yeah. You make a BuzzFeed article about the top 37 moments of Tamagotchi life with your favorite character. Based off the One Direction crew.
Hmm.
You know. I mean, that's what I'm going to do anyway.
It seems like a curiosity, and I don't have any interest in it.
Yeah, I think it'll be more in the curiosity department. And it may not even be full price, because I don't think the price has been announced yet, actually.
Yep. But wait, you said you're buying it tonight?
It's coming out tonight. Actually, no, it has been announced. It's $35. They just haven't priced it on... they haven't priced it on... the eShop yet. I just
the
checked.
eShop.
Anyway.
Nintendo.
Love those guys.
Race to understand. Who said that originally?
Iwata.
It's, yeah.
Okay.
He just he he's has not got an be, adorable accent.
He's not going to be at E3, guys. Did you see that?
No. Nope.
Really?
He's sick. He can't be there for health reasons.
Oh, no.
I know. They released this hilarious press release where it's like, Mr. Iwata is like plugging away over at Nintendo HQ, but doctors have informed him that he's not healthy enough to go to E3 in America. And I'm like, oh, no. And in the process of reading this, I actually learned a lot of crazy things about him. He was like a really talented programmer back in his day.
Mm.
Apparently, one of the things that he was really good at was like optimizing code and making it so it used fewer system resources. So apparently he's part of the reason why the Kanto region was able to be included in Pokemon Gold and Silver because of optimizations he did on the new region.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's really cool. It takes this person whom my only relationship to him has been as this kind of quirky president.
Mm-hmm.
But he also has this history in making games, which I thought was awesome.
That's all. Awesome. Do you have so with Tamagotchi Life, it's only your Miis that are on your system that are going to be interacting, right?
I don't know if you can make them within the game itself as well.
Okay,
but essentially, yeah, you import your Miis. I think you can scan QR codes to download other Miis.
Okay, yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah, so you know, there's this measure of interactivity between people outside of the game world. And yeah, it's very kind of Tamagotchi-esque. Like you just kind of watch what happens with, you know, kind of zany events. It's made by the WarioWare team.
Do you have to feed them?
I think you can feed them, and they have foods they like and foods they don't.
And you have to clean it up?
I don't think they poop and you have to clean it up, but they have like how...
Do they die if you don't?
No, okay, no. So, it's not like it. It's not
so
like,
it's not like Tamagotchi.
Way. Okay, well, anyway, it's like it's okay. Maybe it's like The Sims, except less interactive and with more of like the zany stuff played up, which maybe just sounds inherently unappealing to you guys. But I'm excited about it. And it's also the WarioWare guys and
I did not know that.
Yeah, well, it's Sakimoto who made Metroid, but also was in charge of the WarioWare team. What was I going to say about it? I remember thinking with WarioWare, like, what, this game is stupid. Like, why would I care about these stupid little micro games? And then I played it, and the concept was, and I was actually, like, just, like, immediately hooked. And I expect that I'm having kind of not quite the same reaction. It's more like this looks kind of weird and kind of, I don't know, like, shallow. But once I actually play it, like, I expect that I expect that it'll do about the same thing.
Hmm.
It just seems, I don't know. We'll see what happens, though. But I'm excited about it. The prezaniness.
I feel like that's
keep
the kind of
going.
Game that... I feel like that's the kind of game where I would play it for an hour, think it was really charming, and actually there was a lot more to it than I had anticipated, and then never play it again ever.
It's possible.
I'm still unconvinced.
Just
it's
me
a game.
Personally. Just,
it
yes.
It sounds more like a screensaver.
Maybe. Yeah.
It might be. I don't know.
So if it was priced suchly, like if it was $10 and it's like, oh, you could check in on your crazy friends, see what fish Iwata found in his dresser drawer or something and had to show it to Scooby-Doo, you know. But I don't want to pay $35 to see little nonsense vignettes.
Yeah, I mean, there is this kind of argument like, well, it had a really hilarious Nintendo Direct, but that might be about as deep as the game goes.
Uh-huh. I mean, it's been out in Japan for a while, and it's been it is well regarded as charming.
Yeah, people like it there. Yep.
But what do they know?
I don't know. I like their weird shit, so I think I'll like this weird shit too.
Monster Hunter lovers.
I actually have never gotten into Monster Hunter. That's the one piece of weird shit that I haven't been able to do yet.
That game sucks.
What?
That game is total trash. I hate that game.
You're a crazy person.
I hate it. I tried to... Just controlling the guy is annoying.
Yeah, that's right. And that's why you love it.
It hadn't grabbed me. I'm not ready to say that it sucks, but I just don't get it yet.
I think if you can say Dark Souls controls well, you can say Monster Hunter controls all right.
Yeah, maybe I just shouldn't have been playing on the 3DS then, because I think Dark Souls controls great, but on the 3DS, I did not know what was happening.
Yeah.
It's a little awkward on the 3DS. It's gotten better because they added a lock-on for that game. Previously, they created a special PSP grip. And when I say they created a grip, I don't mean that they created an attachment. I mean they literally
humans
they have a diagram of a human hand oriented in a way that a hand should never be oriented just for playing Monster Hunter.
That's actually been done too in Halo games. People would play with weird hand grips to optimize their gaming.
Dude, they do that on PC with like mouse grips. They've got like the claw, like the palm, and the other ones.
The rocks, paper, and the scissors.
Yeah, but this was of all the hand grips I've ever seen. This is like the most bizarrely unnatural.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm excited for the fourth one personally. I think that'll be a good entry point because you can play online and it's portable, so it doesn't really compromise the core essence of the series.
Right.
But. I don't know. It hasn't got its claws into me yet. Griffin, have you played it for any appreciable length? Any of the entries?
Yeah, I really like Monster Hunter. I've played all the PSP ones.
Nice.
The American ones. Yeah. You get these little cats. You got little cat friends that run around, help you out.
The felines, yep.
Yeah, there's a little piggy that you pet, and he gets different clothes. You can get resources. I don't know. It's a game that it just hooks me for a while, and I have to play it for like 3 days nonstop. And
Griffin, let's play Monster Hunter 4 together.
Okay.
Yep, yes. Definitely.
Sure.
I need someone to take me under their wing. Jamie, I think this game gets better if Griffin should just provide us tutelage.
I'm not that good at it though. Like...
Tutelage sounds erotic.
Tutelage.
Jamie, I'm sending a picture of the Monster Hunter grip to you, because it's really funny.
Okay, awesome.
It's a good game. I think it kind of has a bit of a it has that like Nintendo quality of it where it's like you have if you've played them in the past, you'll kind of always know what you're doing. Like you'll kind of understand some of the core tenets. You're like, oh, it's that guy again who's the tiger dragon thing. So
yeah,
I mean,
Tigrex.
Jeff, you sound like you know these. You got these down.
I know a bit about it. Like I said, I've really been wanting to get into the series. It hasn't grabbed me yet.
Yeah, it's just hard because you know the progression is tough. It requires a lot of patience.
Yeah, the first real mission like will kick your ass.
Yeah,
and that's where I got. I got to the first real mission and got my ass kicked repeatedly, and I was like, I just don't get it.
Yeah. I think as a person who can play a game and not feel like I'm skillful at it forever, I was fine. And, you know, like, not feeling like I was, like, really mastering it at some point, I was feeling pretty good. So, because they give you enough deviations, too, that you're like, I'm going to go gather a bunch of snowballs or something.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I would like to see what all the fuss is about.
Yeah, you know, let's do it. I'll be happy to play. Wahoo!
So,
guys, I was going to say, let's jump and knock this news out of the way here. So right. We can just hammer that out. Get it done.
Hammer it.
No,
hammer
I'm hammering it out right now.
Mm, what are you watching?
I've been hammering it out this whole time.
Just watching your pictures that occasionally light up when you talk in Skype.
Ah.
That's all it takes.
But it's literally all it takes. Like, nothing else works.
Yeah, frankly, I don't even touch myself. It's just, I just look at the pictures, concentrate really hard.
Mind over matter.
Mario Kart did pretty well, didn't it?
It sure did.
Yeah, Mario Kart 8, people are having a reason justifying their Wii U purchase.
Apparently.
Even at my local GameStop, all the Pro controllers were sold out. And then I went to the Best Buy next door, and all the Pro controllers were sold out. And I had to go to Video Games New York to get a Pro controller.
That's crazy. Bro.
What's Video everyone Games New York?
It's the best store ever. It's so good. When you come, we're going to go.
How many people who don't really care about video games will we run into there?
Actually, I think they've totally fired that guy. And everyone there who I was talking to was super nice.
Awesome.
And I was like, do you have Bucky? As I always ask. And they're like, oh, you just missed it.
Oh, no.
It was just here. But he like double checked for me. And I saw him go into the back and check their like newly acquired NES carts. Mm-hmm. And holy moly, they have a ton.
That's awesome.
There's so many.
We determined in the Bucky video that was a treasure game, right?
Yeah. And the guy so knew cool. that. He even knew what color the cart was.
Wow.
Wow.
He was like,
gray?
Yeah. No, no. I mean the little sticker on the cart.
That's what I was thinking, Griffin.
So I guess my question about this fabled video game land of New York City is this oasis of video game beauty. Is
it's
it priced
not.
Reasonably?
It's really not. Yes, actually, I was talking with them about this specifically because they have a ton of Retrions for sale. They have every single Retrion, actually,
no, cool.
for sale, and including one which isn't out yet, the Retrion 5,
yeah,
which is Android-based. And he was talking to me about that one.
Wait, is it really Android-based?
Yes.
That's the dumbest thing ever.
No, that's what I said, and he was like, no, they actually know what they're doing, and there'll be firmware updates, and we've tried it out. Every game that we've tried it with works smoothly, and
I disagree.
But I don't know. He'd actually used it.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm just being whatever.
But he told me on the subject of price that they will not price anything over MSRP, and in terms of used games, they do not do within, like, he had some weird rule. He was like, we try to stick within 10% of what they go for on eBay. So
that's
like
cool.
They only like they for NES carts that are out, like not behind glass, they only have three prices, $5, $10, and $15.
Whoa.
And those are within eBay ranges.
Okay.
And then some stuff's behind glass, and that gets really expensive, especially if it's complete, you know.
Oh.
But
do they have that family sports game that's worth like $13,000?
Stadium events.
Yeah, for Nintendo.
Yeah,
they were actually pretty. I think they're doing well. They actually like had. They did not have a ton of stuff like sitting out, like a ton of really valuable stuff just kind of sitting somewhere, which probably means that they're selling well. And also, the store was really crowded. It's a really tiny store, but super, super great. They have, I think we've told you this, Griff, they have a PlayStation 3, the Metal Gear version signed by Kojima. They have a original DS signed by Miyamoto. They have all sorts of signature stuff. They get tons of imports. They were opening up boxes and boxes and boxes of weird ass Wii RPGs I've never heard of. In Japanese, and like I'm like, people buy these, and he's like, yeah, these are all pre-orders. Like,
nope.
Wow, that's so cool.
Oh my god, like how many people speak Japanese and like need this game and don't get it themselves? They like get it through Video Games New York. Cool place. Cool place. We should all check it out. They sell buttons for your arcade cabinets, stuff like that. They have all sorts of good stuff.
That's really, really awesome.
So the Retrion since they sell Retrions at or below MSRP, you can get a Retrion there for like 10, 15, 20 bucks.
Yeah. Wow. How much is like a like an NES going for?
They had a real. They only had one NES out, and it was $100 because it was spot. It was spotless.
Oh, okay.
It was like absolutely. It looked beautiful.
Okay, so everything is just overpriced.
Well, I think that they price it by like how it like the quality, like how it looks, mm-hmm. like if something's scuffed up or not.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get like, I don't know, you can get like I saw like a GBA, like a clamshell GBA for nothing. I saw a clamshell GBA for like $20.
Huh, that's cool.
And, but it was kind of scuffed up. And then this NES, which looked pristine, that's why it's 100. But if you go on eBay, that's kind of what they go for. Like the range is 30 to 100. And if they look nice, it's closer to 100.
Hmm.
So I'm like, whatever.
Yeah, but they don't sell. I mean, people don't buy NESs for $100 because it's overpriced.
That's true. It is probably a little overpriced. But I'm sure someone, especially in New York City, wants an NES and they want it to look like super pristine. Someone's going to buy that.
I want to pay $500 for one that has like steel plating on it. That's analog. Analog.
So yeah, I'm glad Mario Kart sold well because it's amazing. We'll talk about that more later when we talk about our experience with it. But I'm happy. Yeah. I did not expect it to sell that well.
I didn't really either. And I'm going to say that I went to a GameStop recently and there are just kids filtering in all the time to play Mario Kart.
Mm.
Kids love Mario Kart. It's crazy. Yeah. I've never seen them give this much attention to the Wii U. People know what it is. They're like, oh, yeah, I got a Wii U, but, you know, can I play? Can I use the Wii Motion Plus controller with the Wii U? But, like, they know what the Wii U is. They don't even ask what the Wii U is. The questions have – we've moved beyond the initial question, like, can I use the gamepad with my Wii? Now it's like, which controllers are compatible with the Wii U?
Mm-hmm.
Which is right. The biggest step forward possible for Nintendo.
Sure. You mean I don't gotta plug that Etch-A-Sketch into my old Wii?
Yeah, it's pretty exciting time.
But I guess they were talking on the Giant Bombcast about like the lifetime sales for some of the other Mario Kart games.
Yeah.
And they're staggering.
Yeah, Mario Kart is a huge IP.
Mario Kart DS, I remember, was over like 30 million or something, or close to 30 million.
The Wii version is actually the best-selling one.
Yeah, it's Wii like, was oh, really? 30, yeah. And then DS was like 20.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The Wii version is... except for Wii Sports, Mario Kart Wii is the best-selling Wii game.
Wow.
Wii Sports doesn't count because it's a freaking
Wii
packet.
Play?
Shut up.
Actually, controller.
You might actually be right, Griffin. Yeah. I'm going to check.
I think someone... It was either Polygon or Joystick or one of the thousands of podcasts I listened to. They made a really good point about Mario Kart, which is that all the other Mario Karts have like a shtick, like, oh, this one, there's two of you. Or in this one, there's, I don't know, this, I don't play, I haven't played the other one, so I don't know. But I guess they've all had like a shtick.
Mostly.
And this one was kind of like, it's Mario Kart.
No, I think since Double Dash, it's always been kind of close to the formula.
Yeah. I don't know. This one has anti-gravity. I mean,
that's as much as saying, like, you've got kite flying.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just a track in a different location.
I would say the most divergent of... Well, Double Dash is pretty divergent. But I'd say out of all the Mario Karts, the most divergent is probably the Wii version, just because it has such a different feel than all the others. I hated the Wii version.
Oh, huh. I was going to say that seemed like the most vanilla of them, because it was just racing.
It was pretty bananas, actually. Mm. The bikes were very different than the carts, and they had wheelies and shit. They were very abusable. Oh. There was no real good control scheme. I guess you could use like the Pro Controller or whatever. It just was not a fun game. The courses were uninspired. Just very broken gameplay. Lots of shitty decisions.
Bad rubber banding? How bad was that rubber banding?
I don't care about the rubber banding. But it has,
banding
it has
some... is horseshit.
Remind me to tell you about that when we talk about Towerfall.
That was beautiful.
You're welcome.
It just had some terrible items. It was a really bad game.
Did that one sell well?
That's the best selling.
That's the best selling.
It sold. It's actually sold 35 million units, actually, guys. I just checked. And it is the second best selling Wii game.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah. Wii Sports Resort is third, and then Wii Play.
Huh.
Huh.
Yeah. Huh. That's some weird business right there. But yeah, kids love that game.
Let's keep chucking.
Kids
so
love
we can get to
Mario's.
The actual games.
Okay, fine. The actual games.
Okay, Mortal Kombat X was announced. Does anyone care?
I do, but you guys don't, so...
No, I
care.
No,
Jamie cares. Go ahead. Talk
I like fighting games until I realize that I suck at them and I'll never get better.
Yeah, MK9 was awesome, and Mortal Kombat X or 10 or whatever. It's a CG trailer that was announced. There are a lot of beats in the trailer that were hearkening back to MK9 abilities and kind of things that made MK9 a little bit more fresh from the other games, like the X-ray moves, and then even calling, like making like a call out to weapons and kind of like interactive environment things, like with Injustice: Gods Among Us, and then just you know, it looked really pretty, but not that has to do with anything. And then there's been other rumbling from Ed Boon, like saying that they're revamping some things. So the most exciting thing about MK9 was the story mode, which is easily the best story mode in any fighting game ever, because it was given so much attention and done so interestingly, with so much reverence, and I'd love to see what they take the series in the direction, what direction they're going to do now, because MK9 did the big Mortal Kombat bits, like 1, 2, and 3, essentially the movies that you know and love, and the other later games that got kind of weird were really shitty. So in 9, they reset the timeline, kind of Star Trek style, and then you get to replay the first games, and then at the end of it, it was like, but
maybe
it didn't happen because it's cursed because everybody dies or something. You know, they just got so bananas, like even more bananas than they already were. So I am super pumped to see what direction they take this in, because Mortal Kombat is some good stuff. Though not my favorite fighting game, it does great things. It's been doing great things.
Yeah, and Griffin, I didn't mean to discount that Mortal Kombat was good. I just, you know, it was just a nothing trailer, so I was like, okay, it's announced.
Yeah, I mean,
but
you're right.
You said the good things. You said all the good things.
Yeah. Yes.
So.
Yeah. Yes. So, in yet another pre-E3 announcement that everybody was expecting to be coming out during E3, Forza Horizon 2 was formally announced.
Yeah, for the Xbox One and for the 360, I thought that was kind of the big piece that was a little bit surprising. The more I think about it, though, the less it seems to be a big deal.
Right.
It's just
a racing game.
Yeah, but it's like the best racing game out there right now.
Oh, yeah, I agree. But
I meant the 360 part.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like,
you're saying, you're right. It's a racing game, right?
Yeah, it's not like anything about the game is.
It's a sub-genre.
I also get the sense that the 360 version is not going to have a lot of the stuff that the next-gen version has. Just from the way they describe it and the way they talk about the product they're working on, it sounds like they're not describing the 360 version at all.
Probably a different team that's doing it.
That's what I think is happening. Okay. I think they're just. They see a market that can be easily sold to. You know, I don't want to lump it in with, you know, quote unquote sports games, but it's like, you know, it is a sporting game. And those tend to sell well on old platforms. So throw it on the 360, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At first I was like, what the hell?
Yeah. It's surprising. But I mean, Xbox One has Forza for your simulation driving, and if they make the lighter, poppier, more, you know, bubblegum racing game, why not put it out on both?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's good chance at some revenue, so. Yeah.
It needs it. Let's see what's else on our list here.
Jamie, have you installed the Wii U update?
Yes, and you are correct. It is cool. It is actually cool. Like, not even joking. It's surprisingly cool.
Did you see my change?
It's sublime.
I love it.
Why not? It is sublime. So Griffin, I'm sure you already know this, but when the new update does is you turn your Wii U on with the gamepad, and instead of taking 3 hours to get to the main screen, a little thing pops up and it's like, hey, last time you were playing this. Do you want to do that right now? Instead of waiting forever for your stupid little me to generate and fall from the sky and land in a sea of other Wiis.
The Wada Wada Plaza.
Shit. Yeah. By the way, on that main screen, Shannon was just reading what other people were saying.
Oh no! Why would you do that?
Because it was just on for some reason, and mm-hmm. I love what like random kids are saying yes. about the game. Like they'll just post like you're not always exactly sure what game they're talking about. But it'll be like, got all 7 swords.
Yes, but also amongst those posts are like really incredible pieces of art.
Oh, yeah. The art.
Which I love. That's fantastic.
I don't know how they can draw that with the gamepad.
Don't know.
Very impressive stuff.
So, they have robot arms.
Speeds things up. And I actually like the aesthetics of the launching screen.
Me too.
Like, the little screen that allows you to jump straight into your game. It's like very simple.
Yeah, no, they've definitely touched up and improved the aesthetic of the pieces that they did tweak in the UI.
And just generally speaking, from the time of the launch till now, they've made drastic improvements to that operating system.
Yeah.
Huge improvements. It used to be literally like a hassle just to navigate inside of.
Yeah, yeah. Still no folders, though. But then again, the other guys don't have it either, so.
At least you can launch the store in less than, like, literally 90 seconds.
Yeah. The other thing I was going to say is the update process struck me as very strange because after you install the update, you can't launch the quick start screen right away. Did you get this, Jamie?
Yeah, it has to, like, take you through a tutorial.
Well, no. What happens is I tried to launch it. I powered down and then powered back on, and it was like, the quick start menu is not available. Please turn off the power and wait a while. Then turn it back on, and I'm like, what is happening to my Wii U?
That's so funny. I did not get that message.
I also really like how we didn't mention this, how now you can get notifications delivered to your Wii U even when it's off, and it will actually turn on the gamepad and like ring a bell and be like, hey, check this out.
That is cool. I did notice that.
I think that they're kind of lurching towards this system where the gamepad can kind of function as this independent unit, which like you view in a way that is separate from the television. Like I think right now people just kind of see it as like an extension of the TV, but I think they're trying to give it its own identity and give it a life of its own. Like, hey, you can go check the gamepad in the middle of the day and that's all you do with the console, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
I think that's pretty cool. I think
that's awesome.
I think it's a good step for them. So I really liked that. I just remember noting it like last week or whenever it came out, I was like, this is a really heartening step. Like this is a really cool thing that they're doing. Makes me feel good about the platform. So I don't know.
Is there something about update downloads happening in the background now?
I think so. Yeah. I think that that's even more automated than it used to be, which is a great thing too. So
I'm impressed with how far they've come because that was a train wreck when I bought it at launch. I was so upset with how long it took to do anything in that OS, and I'm pretty happy now, so good for them.
Yeah, they've made a lot of progress. Yeah, they're kind of on par with last gen. but, you know, who knows? I mean, it's great that they had some sales. I mean, mm-hmm. what this does for them long term, I have no idea.
I will say, I'll quickly tell. So I bought my Mario Kart 8, and I got my free Pikmin, and I don't have any space because I bought the basic, which was a mistake, but they didn't have the pro version of the console, so I only have 8 gigs of onboard memory, which is a joke. I only have 2 games on there, and it's already full, and so I needed more space. But you can't use an SD card because they decided that, which is ridiculous because you can use an SD card for all your 3DS games,
yep.
but you can't use it for your Wii U. So I went and bought an external hard drive, and I was excited, brought it home, plugged it into the Wii. You read online what types of drives work, specifically bought one that I thought would, plugged it in, and it didn't work because the Wii U's USB outs are extremely low powered, and the drive was not receiving enough power to spool up the disc. And so I had to go back, return it, buy a different external drive that had AC power. And now that works. Now I've got my Pikmin running.
Is this a thing, Griffin? Do you know if this happens on other consoles too?
What's that?
The USBs don't provide enough power to power drives.
I don't know. I've never tried, actually.
I'm gonna guess yes. Which it's just it makes me annoyed though. It's like ugh, just give me replaceable drives.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad that they support external storage. And actually, I did try it out with simply a thumb drive, a USB flash drive.
It was probably really slow.
No, it works fine.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's just I was a little worried about the long-term stability of that, so I transferred it over. But if you're in a pinch, you can use a USB thumb drive. You can also actually take a USB cable that goes from the Wii U to an SD card reader.
Oh, yeah, that works. Yep.
Which is hilarious. especially when the front of the Wii U has an SD card slot, but you can't use that because that would be way too easy. But yeah, at least they support external storage. And it's not the if you go online and you read like what kind of drives will work. If you get a drive that has AC power, pretty much any drive will work, which is nice. They don't have any weird restrictions. So that's good.
Yeah, that is good. Yeah, I'm happy. Like I said, I'm happy that external storage is supported, I guess, just like you, Jamie. But I just it's so annoyingly inelegant, and I cannot abide having a hard drive next to my bleh.
I actually, because I did not like the aesthetics of any of the pre-made external drives, yeah. I bought a bare drive at Micro Center I bought my own enclosure that I liked the look of, and I just made an external drive out of a bare, fat-ass desktop hard drive.
Oh, first of all, that was
artisanal hard drives.
Yeah. First of all, that was probably cheaper, and second of all, I totally understand and would probably do the same thing.
It's amazing looking. It's stainless steel instead of like just shit black plastic.
Wait, so do you guys never like clean out the fridge or anything like that? You always have everything?
Well, now I will because I have 500 extra gigs. Okay. But
I love cleaning the fridge. I don't know what that has to do with this particular thing, but
I think he's talking about this like. Just like clearing out space for your new games.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, why do you
have a hard time with that, Griff?
Okay. I mean, as a Nintendo fan, you should be used to it by now.
Yeah, well, I haven't encountered that problem yet because I have a 32 gig in my 3DS. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. I also actually have a 32 gig in my 3DS, but my Wii U only has 8 gigs of onboard memory.
Yeah, it's the
can't
basic.
Use SD cards, so that's the problem, Griffin.
Yeah.
So that's why I.
Yeah, and Pikmin is literally like 4 gigs, so.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus, I completely forgot that Wii U's come in different sizes.
Well, yeah, that other one doesn't really, it's not really a thing anymore, yeah but.
I'm glad, because that's really, I mean, you're selling someone something that can't do a lot of the things that you want them to pay to do? It's like, we want you to buy the Luigi expansion to your game, and you can't really if you
well you can on disc
yeah
for $30
for 10 extra dollars
yes.
Well, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
The PSP is dead.
Long live the PSP.
Yeah, PSP has ceased production in Japan or shipping,
yeah,
or whatever. I think it might be shipping actually.
We don't need to
manufacturing or something. I don't know. Whatever. PSP was great. Yeah. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, we don't need to eulogize it. Great import machine. If you wanted to do that.
Great. Great hack machine, or I don't even know what to call it.
Pirate machine.
Pirating machine. Yeah.
It was also a really it was well regarded. I mean, this is also pirating, but it was a well regarded emulation device for old stuff. Griffin, I don't know
for
if
pirates.
You are. Okay.
For dirty, awful pirates.
Well, anyway, it was well regarded in that scene as well, and it was a cool thing. It was off to a very slow start, but it really picked up in Japan with Monster Hunter.
Yep.
Did it have a 10-year? If it's dead now, did it have a 10-year life
Six
cycle?
6 months short. Six
yeah,
months
almost,
short.
Almost there. Someone over at Sony is just laughing.
Yeah.
Handhelds don't get 10-year life cycles.
It was Jack Trenton's dying wish.
Yeah.
It's either me or the PSP.
I'm so excited for him to be back at Spike, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for convincing me in Japan to not wait for the PSP Go and just go ahead and buy a Japanese ice blue PSP. Because I still love that thing. Sometimes I still just open up the case and just look at it. It's so pretty.
Hey, guys, remember how well the PSP Go did? It was a great system.
Really wish I got one of those.
I feel like people don't even remember that that happened.
Yep.
I feel like Sony doesn't remember that that happened.
I spent considerable amount of time on that Amazon page looking at the PSP Go and thinking about buying it. This was pre-Vita, but you know me. I wrestled with it.
Dude, I do too, man. I look at that and I'm like, I need that. It's so dumb. Yeah.
Except I don't know. I like weird things. I like the 2DS. I haven't bought one, but right. I thought about it.
This year is the year you're going to be able to trade in your UMDs for digital versions.
Oh, shut up.
Finally.
I hate you.
But no, they're going to make a device that shreds it.
And then the particles turn into, they get digitized.
You get a one-time use code.
It's funny because if they had a scheme where you could do that and it cost $5 for each game, I might consider doing it.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't. I like keeping physical things.
Yeah. I just like having, I used to love keeping physical things, but ever since I got my own place, clutter has become like a mortal foe that I need to stop at every turn. So I have very quickly become a proponent of digital.
You should just become a proponent of IKEA, and then you can still have all your junk.
Yeah.
it gets overwhelming. Like, I have so many, even with my push towards more digital stuff, I have so much.
Dude, do you like categorize it and log it and then box it away? Because that feels really good.
I guess.
You should try it. It's really, it's a great feeling.
Maybe. I don't know. It's given me some peace of mind. I only do it really with my handheld platforms. I still buy games for the big guys just because it doesn't make sense to download everything because you have small hard drives.
Yeah.
You know, that 500 gigs is going to fill up fast.
Yeah, so. But at this point now, you were just installing them on there anyway.
Yeah.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I like my things. I like my stuff.
Yeah, I like my stuff.
Yeah, I'm moving away from it just because, I don't know, it's nice. Even though, like, I love manuals. The thing is, like, they don't even make it worth owning them anymore because they don't come with manuals. You know, the boxes are flimsier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're still real.
Yeah, it's still a box, bro.
Yeah. It's true. And one day, all my precious content could be yanked away from me. But, you know.
Take a zip car over to your local IKEA.
Yeah.
And grab yourself some.
You mean my local IKEA 2.5 hours away?
Uh-huh. Sure.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And get some of those 8x8 Expedit shelving units. They are a godsend.
Yeah.
They're amazing.
After the podcast, you guys got to tell me all about this.
Get yourself a scanning app that categorizes and bounces the prices off Amazon and then spend 2 days scanning all the barcodes and then writing comments in about what is wrong with them.
Guys, I have 4 pets.
And then you box it away.
With that. This is entirely incompatible with that.
It's really great. You should try this.
Oh no, that sounds too much.
Because then when you're done, you're not really done.
When you're done, the emptiness goes away, if only for a moment.
Then you have to get more stuff because you're like, oh man, see, I'm really lacking in this area.
And then you're back on meth again.
Yep.
You just never stay away.
And you wind up in a ditch with bleeding anus.
Well, that's just an average Thursday for me.
Yeah. Speaking of winding up in ditches with bleeding anuses, Dark Knight. Arkham Knight, Batman, has been delayed to 2015. Dark Surprising Knight. Nobody.
Yeah. I feel like this is kind of, I don't know, like, this in the lead-up to E3, having all these delays come, like, God, I hope they announce some stuff for fall 2014. Because otherwise, there's going to be Destiny and nothing else.
Well, there'll be some more, but I mean, I don't think we're going to get any mind because we're done, right? There's nothing really shown last year that has been brought up again this year.
I'm actually kind of worried because everyone is saying that we need time. We're going to push it to 2015. I'm really worried that some developer who is handling a property that I care about is going to notice that there is nothing coming out in Q4 2014 except Destiny. Then shove something up there.
No way.
Just to be like, monies.
No.
I'm always shoving something up there for monies.
Pushing. It's going to get pushed back, if anything. You know, everything always shuffles further and further down the queue. No one's like going to jump in. Since people discovered the spring, since video game developers and publishers discovered that a spring is a good time to sell games, nobody does that anymore.
Well, I think it's just weird because this is going to be a really tepid holiday season. I mean, you know, this is going to, I see this as like the thing that kind of rattles the whole like economy of like AAA development for a little while and mm-hmm. maybe like makes people reconsider the scale of projects because they're going to have the worst sales they've had in years.
Well,
you know what I mean?
But we need to be realistic about it too. Like, we're coming off the end of an overly long generation that people were really cranking out good stuff towards the end of it, and we were spoiled with the products that were coming out. So now
my
there's nothing at the beginning.
Yeah.
Does it surprise?
My
really?
Question is, well, yes, because the generation was so long. Like, mm-hmm. why haven't they been working on this? They've had years to plan for this. Like, they started planning these consoles in, what, 2007 or something?
They started planning the consoles, but I don't think that they know what they're doing or they're thinking ahead. The third parties, at least. Or even the first parties.
Right. By that logic, Jeff, you'd be saying that Arkham Knight or Arkham Asylum and Arkham Knight were developed simultaneously.
And I think that when Mark Cerny says, we started talking about the PS4 in 2007, I think that literally means that, like, he in his shower was like,
no, I agree, but remember the PS4 and the Xbox One were both developed with, I think, more input from actual like studios than anyone else, than any mm-hmm. previous console. And also, like, this is something that's kind of been like an open secret for like the past 3 years that next
worked
on.
Yeah, but just because it's easier to develop,
it's like, why
doesn't mean
why
everybody's
is
ready.
Here?
Like, I don't know.
Is this,
I'm not
is this
for
typical?
The easiness.
Griffin, and in regards to like the why isn't anything here, didn't they get input from developers, weren't developers like, didn't they know it was happening? I think that was marketing. I think that they sent a flyer to some developers and they said, hey, do you want like RAMs? And they're like, yeah, we want RAMs.
Okay, I get you. Yeah.
And that was their, I think it was,
I don't
just,
know, I guess, is it always this bad after the end of the first year? There's nothing coming out a year later?
I think if we look historically back, you're going to see it's slow.
I guess I'm used to the first 6 months being slow, but like, you know, at the end of the first year, like one major property coming out, like that seems unprecedented to me.
One what?
One major property coming out.
That's it? I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's been out since the release of these consoles, I think.
No, I mean, one major property slated for the holiday, or for the end of the year, Destiny. I mean,
there's,
I guess,
Far Cry,
okay, yeah.
There's Call of Duty.
Call of Duty,
there's
okay.
There's sports games that will inevitably come out.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe
there's just
I'm
not
kind
stuff
of,
for us.
Maybe I'm kind of creating a narrative that doesn't exist, but it seems troubling to me.
I'm with you. It's just I think that there's AAA stuff coming, and there's been AAA stuff, but in terms of our tastes, we're kind of like we're left with the indies, which is fine.
Well, I'm happy with the indies.
At least PlayStation had the foresight to get on that bandwagon because they probably did see that there was this giant gap coming.
It seems like an especially slow ramp up after such a long generation before, that so many people were apparently so tired of.
But Jeff, I mean, it's like just because people were tired of it and they knew a new device was coming out doesn't mean that they were able to develop new games simultaneously while creating these fantastic showpiece products at the end of another system's life cycle.
It's true. No, you're right. Yeah,
I view this as just like the calm before the storm, the kind of the reset period, like the regrowth of the forest fire or whatever. Like, we had the big blaze, now everything needs to settle so everything can reset.
Whereas my kind of general, which I've expressed on several occasions, my pessimism about, you know, the future of AAA is kind of showing through, obviously. Like, you know, this plays into something that I've already kind of decided, like, oh, you know, this is going to be a tough time for them going forward. So that's kind of where my angle is. I mean, that's kind of my frame of reference. But I guess, yeah, it could just well be that, you know, we're just in the ramp up and that's how it goes, you know?
And it always takes the longest for the first one. I mean, we're going to have another Watch Dogs game in at least in 2 years at the longest, right?
Yeah, that's probably true.
And I feel like once they get the first one out, they build on it and they're able to turn it out a little faster. Mm-hmm.
Did you guys read Ubisoft Game Review?
No.
Oh, it's really good. The website posted a review of Ubisoft game, and it's just a generic review of all Ubisoft games. And it's like, Ubisoft game features a lot of chase missions. And like, Ubisoft game on PC is a mixed bag. Like, some parts are great and other parts are bad. And like, it will use Uplay, though. It's all this funny stuff. It's really good.
That's poor amazing. Ubisoft.
What's that?
I said, poor Ubisoft. You guys just... They just got to get it together.
Yeah. You guys will like it. I'll show it to you.
You be too hard on that company.
Whoa! I like Ubisoft. We talked about this already. Off podcast.
You know IRL. What I like?
Dark Souls 2?
Yeah.
Transition!
You know what I don't like? DLC. How'd you
apparently,
know?
Apparently Artorias of the Abyss was like one of the best DLCs ever.
That's not true,
one?
Because the only good DLC ever was the last
dead
DLC.
Horse armor.
Yep, they nailed it right from the beginning. It's all been garbage since. Lightning only strikes once, I guess.
But if you're lucky, lightning returns.
Oh, God.
Whoa. That game came out this year.
Yes, it did.
Yep.
So
yeah, the Dark Souls DLC was highly regarded. I don't know. Sure.
I don't think this new one's gonna be. This new one looks pretty pretty cash grabby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. What else do we have here? There's a link or something you're posting.
Oh, that's just the link to Ubisoft game the review.
Microsoft is continuing to announce more and more things that you would think they would save for their press conference. This time it was like 250 apps that are not game related are coming to the Xbox One across all sorts of different territories. So just
can I tell you what their press conference is going to be? It's just going to be a vine of Steve Ballmer's head, really, really big, like on a jumbotron, spinning around with him going, wah.
With the NFL logo in the background.
I would hope they just make it's just a stone Steve Ballmer head that barfs out games over the audience, like the Zardoz head.
Now that Ballmer! I have ascended into the ethereal plane to deliver games.
Sean Connery is there in his orange cod piece.
What were those non-gaming apps? Just like Crackle video?
Matter. Yeah, essentially.
Yeah.
I mean,
okay.
Vine.
That's really?
A big one. Yep. Right.
So my Vine prediction was apparently right on the money.
Yeah, I mean, Microsoft, that's a get right there. Vine. I don't know, kids like Vine.
Angie's List.
Kids don't like Vine on their Xbox One. That's, kids don't. You do it on your iPhone.
Well,
that's,
I guess kids also don't like Xbox Ones, so there
okay,
we go.
Yep. So maybe the parents will be like, oh, I checked out the Vines right. on the Xbox. Those kids sure spilled that spaghetti.
That kid got hit with a Razor scooter pretty hard. let's see. I can't read the last one. Mario
Maker. So this is really recent. Just popped up on GAF. Looks like Mario. They're finally going to have a level editor for Mario for the Wii U. So
what,
it's
for what game?
Pleased to be excited. What? It looks
March
like
the
old
minis.
School. It looks like old school Nintendo, like NES Mario.
Oh, okay.
But you can build your own levels. So, hey, that's kind of cool, I guess. It's not really that exciting, but it's there.
35 Leaks. US dollars.
You know, it's kind of adding to their suite of retro games that are kind of new. a la NES Remix.
Yeah. Basically. Doing just enough to make it different, but not very good.
These are probably games that you can churn out, in, 2-3 months. They have probably a small team of just a few people working on them, is my guess. Yep. So that's kind of cool. But the most important news of the week, did you guys watch that little sneak peek at MGS 5?
Hell no.
So what? In the Phantom Pain, you can hide in the cardboard box again. They confirmed the cardboard box is back. And you can sneak up on someone in your cardboard box, and then you could pop open the top of the box, and it flies open, and you fly out, and you shoot them. And it's the coolest thing ever.
Does Kiefer Sutherland deliver the worst "it's just a box"?
No, he doesn't deliver any lines. Okay. It was a Japanese stream. It's just a box, I guess. Unfortunately, there was no Kiefer Sutherland telling everyone not to fight it. But you guys should watch it, because just the animation of him springing out of the box is like the most delightful animation in the world.
Okay.
For some reason, anytime they say anything about Metal Gear Solid, I just get really angry.
I'm kind of getting that way too, Jamie.
I'm like, that's so stupid. I hate it. I hate everything about it. And I'm happy. I'm actually happy that this is happening, so that when the game actually comes out and I'm really expecting to just hate it, I'll love it.
Jamie, you don't like Metal Gear, though, do you?
I love Metal Gear sometimes. I love 2. I love 4. I love 3, actually.
3 is great.
3 is I never really played 1. I'm sure I would love it if I played it. Okay. But I just, every time someone says something about this game, I just want to shoot them in the face.
So interesting.
I don't know why. I have no idea why.
I'm a great game. I'm really missing the kind of zaniness of Metal Gear. Like, this one's getting a little too serious, a little bit too, like, weird in the wrong ways, where it's like, hey, today's announcement on the Kojima show is this lady who is wearing only panties is just a new lady and not a reoccurring character who is a 14-year-old boy.
Exactly.
That's the big news. Okay.
Why was that in anyone's mind?
No, that was just a weird gaff thing. I ignore that nonsense.
But I'm saying, like, it's the wrong kind of crazy for me. Like,
I guess.
I want more Snake flicking his thumb open for his cigar lighter and giant space whales. Like, I want that bullshit. I don't want, like, we decided to retool the engine so that you can stealth jeep in daytime more efficiently. So, like, okay, that's cool and all, but...
So here's what I'll say about the box thing. This is why I liked this. It felt goofy, and that's what I think has been lacking. Because it literally, when it happened, like, everyone in the room just laughed, because it's hilarious. It's just, he's just like...
Okay.
Just like an idiot.
You fixed that for me.
Yeah, no, it's the thing that's good about it is just that it's I don't care that, like, he can do it. It's not like a tactical advantage. It's just funny.
Well, the thing
is,
it's
not what you expect him to do in a cardboard box.
I feel like with the previous announcements that have come out for this game, I feel like they would make this announcement and they would be super serious about it, and then they'd be like, I don't know, Yoshi-san worked for 8 months on this box popping technology.
Well, that's because they want to use the engine more widely.
All so games featuring the Fox engine have built-in pre-pop box remember popping tools.
That was a GDC talk. So you guys have to remember which audiences they were serving there.
Mm-hmm.
That's to try to get people interested in as a development platform, I think.
I guess here's my problem. I don't like when a game has such an entrenched base that I feel like they can show people anything and people go nuts. Like with some of the earlier footage that was shown, it was literally like a guy riding a horse in a desert, and people were freaking out.
Yeah,
and I was like, it looks beautiful. It's probably going to be a great game, but it's a dude riding a horse in the desert, and I don't give a damn.
But he goes sideways.
Stealth horsing.
I think stealth horsing is amazing.
I do too.
I don't know.
I think stealth jeep and stealth horse are great because it's that dumb MGS thing where, it's like, that guy has a mohawk in the shape of an exclamation point on his head. Hilarious!
I guess it's a little disconcerting or disquieting or whatever that he wants to do this kind of whole serious thing, because it's MGS is kind of at its best when it has a lot of light moments, but I have faith. I think it'll still be weird and goofy.
Yeah.
Weirdly, I also have faith. I'm sure it'll be a great game. I'm just angry at it.
I guess what upsets me the most is, like, I miss the goofiness, but I also miss like, if they're going like the Call of Duty rollouts or something like that, where it's like, let's show off this new gun. You can tell how we've changed the player physics, ball handling dynamics from 2009 FIFA to 2011 quarterback club cricket party. It's so granular, and that's not like the announcements of Metal Gear that I like are like, this character is shaped like a robot dog, and I'm like, yeah, it is robot dog.
I think maybe you might benefit then from just kind of taking a step back from the coverage that it's getting, because you know, maybe they're doing that to kind of appeal to a certain group of people or a certain crowd or something. But yeah, I could see why that would be bleh. But hopefully, once the final product hits, it won't be just all that.
I also don't like when they show Snake and then he says something completely out of context, and I'm supposed to understand what's happening.
Kaz, I'm already a demon.
They're all dead, and I'm not to blame this time.
But tomorrow I might be. I'm just a dirty man with a pocket full of secrets.
There are more secrets in this mustache than there are in that entire briefcase of secrets.
Outer Haven. Or heaven? It's heaven now. Heaven.
I hope just at one point in the game somebody goes, brother!
Oh god, yeah. What is Cam Clark doing these days? There needs to be more Metal Gear trailers that end in the broom. And they're like, what? He just cut a watermelon in half?
Yeah, I mean, it's challenging because, like, clearly, you know, there is this chapter of MGS where all this stuff is supposed to happen where, you know, a good guy turns bad. So they're going to have to play it dark. But yeah, it is going to be kind of a different step for the series. And
I predict go on. Yeah.
I was going to say, maybe it doesn't help that they've been hyping this engine like crazy, and that means a lot of talk about nitty-gritty tech nonsense.
Well, the engine, it does look fantastic. I'm sure it'll add a lot of, I don't know, atmosphere to the game. I predict that this game will feature a phone. Your Snake will have a phone, and you'll be able to use that phone. And that phone will run the Lalelule 2.0 OS. And there will be way too much care and thought put into what you see on Snake's phone.
Well, he does have a Walkman.
I think you already nailed that. Yeah, he's...
So, you're pretty close, yep. Yeah.
Okay, good.
The eye glide.
He has like a Walkman before Walkman were things, and it's like really fully featured.
And it's called the iDroid, combining best of both worlds.
Yep.
Anyway.
Just breaking two patents in one.
The stuff of Griffin's nightmares.
Yeah. Speaking of things that people get way overhyped about because they're really invested in them, that Dark Project Beast, those things were real, I guess.
Like, yeah,
it's real video, not just still images somebody drummed up.
There's a shotgun.
Yeah,
you guys shut your mouth. I'm hyped.
Hey, yeah, sure. All right, that covers news. We're at an hour. You guys want to talk about Mario Kart 8 for like 20 minutes?
Sure. And then most of the games on this list, I don't have to talk about for more than a moment.
Yeah,
so
me too.
Let's talk Mario Kart 8, Jamie. It's really
so
good.
Can you tell me why I really haven't been such a big fan of every other Mario Kart game to date, except for this one. And for some reason, instantly when I started playing this one, I was like, this is incredible. And I love racing games, and you hate racing games.
Well, I've always loved kart racing games. Diddy Kong Racing is amongst my favorite games of all time.
I'm right there with you.
Mario Kart has always been amongst my favorite games, except for the 64 version, which I think is trash.
Huh.
I've never played a Mario Kart game. Even ones that I've put substantial amounts of time into. I put a lot of time into the GameCube one because my roommate had it and was like a huge fan. So I played a ton of that, and I just hated it. I hated every minute of it.
I think Double Dash is
like
also
a true
kind
Nintendo
of a weird
fan.
One. I think Double Dash is also kind of a weird entry. I don't know. It's had its ups and downs. I've always liked the core concept, but I think what this game does right is First of all, it's beautiful. Second of all, it takes what was great about Mario Kart 7, which was kind of this kind of perfect balance between like skill-based driving and also like kind of balanced random items that can be disruptive if you want them to be. Like if you're in last place, like you still get good items, but it doesn't feel like it's just like unbelievably cheap. Like you feel like you're actually like doing something when you race.
Sure.
I don't know. So that piece is great. They transplanted the gliders. Those are cool. And then throwing in this anti-grav thing and using it in the service of some of the coolest course design I've ever seen.
Yes.
Like, I feel like when you just load up a course, like remember when you load up like the Shy Guy waterfall course and like you just look and there's like a boost panel going vertically in front of you from the start line, like you have no idea how you're going to get to that boost panel, but it's right there. And you're like, I'm so excited for this race.
Which is oddly enough, because a while ago we were talking about Wipeout, and I think I described pretty much what you just said. And that was the reason why you didn't like Wipeout. And it's a reason why I do like Wipeout, and I also like this game, because the courses are so crazy, and you're right. You have no idea how you're going to make it to the next, you know, set of the track.
Well, I think what I didn't like about Wipeout was that I had a hard time figuring out, like, where the track was. Like, even when I was on the track, like, it just, there were not enough visual cues, I think, for me in that game.
Mm.
Also, the controlling is way
not enough faces on mountains.
Yes, and the control was way too twitchy for me. I just couldn't stay in control of my vehicle, and that made it unfun for me. Whereas in Mario Kart, like, I have mastered those mechanics through and through, and I'm very good.
The interesting thing about this Mario Kart is that if you feel like you're not getting enough traction, you can just change your kart or one part of your kart so that you have more traction.
Yeah.
That is reflected when you play the next time. And it's kind of amazing how you'll get, or at least for me, I'll get used to the feel of one character in one cart with these accessories. And then when I change any of that, I'm like, oh my God, this is all wrong. This is terrible. How could anyone play like this? Like, the drift is completely off. But when you get used to it, you realize that there's benefits and drawbacks. And
yeah, and that's another feature that they transplanted from Mario Kart 7, the sort of custom cart approach where you can build it from three parts, except they expanded your selection.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're right, Jamie. And there's enough like stats that actually change and then like hidden stats that change that riding with like a different set of tires can change the whole feel. And you can be like, it's like when they had that World Cup ball that everyone hated because like they changed the number of panels used to make it or something.
Oh,
even
yeah.
Though it looked exactly the same. Like the,
I know
the,
what you're talking about.
The drag coefficient on it was wrong or something. It's exactly the same, but it makes so much of a difference.
Another thing is this game has so much spit polish on it. Like Nintendo games are always polished to like a amazingly brilliant shine, but this game, every little menu is like, that is a beautiful little menu. That is a beautiful little loading screen. Like,
oh God,
why when I'm waiting for an online match am I looking at a picture of the Earth and Toad is in a spacesuit and he's floating around? Like, that's awesome. Thank you.
I love the loading screen with all the different fake companies like Bowser Oil and Undead Motors and
yeah.
Oh, so great. But what I really hate is when you finish a match and the default thing that you can press the A button on is view highlight reel. That needs to die.
I like that because the highlight reel is so good. The camera angles are so well like used. It's such a dynamic thing to watch.
Yeah.
So I don't mind that.
It took me a while to realize that you could see more than just like the three scenes that it shows you. Once I figured that out, I was like, oh, this isn't a dumb feature. I actually like this now. Also, it birthed the most amazing Luigi gifs on the internet of him just giving the death stare to people while wiping them out and stuff.
Online works amazingly. So, Griffin, when I want to like play online, it just works. And I can very easily see if Jeff is on. I can see if he's in a race. If he is, I can join him really simply. And if not, you can choose whether you want to race people regionally or you just don't care and you want to race people from all over the world.
Is that a problem in Mario Kart 7?
No, I never played Mario Kart 7. I'm just saying it really works well.
It was hard to play with a friend in Mario Kart 7. You had to play with communities, which required you to like build like a clan or something. You couldn't just join each other.
It's super simple. Now like I go on and I literally see a picture of Jeff's Mii's face. And it's like, Jeff! And it's like, is he racing? No.
No, he's Tamagotchiing.
Oh, God. It's going to be out soon.
He and Miyamoto are at the beach together on a date.
Oh, I can't wait.
Here's my friend Christina Aguilera.
I should put Christina Aguilera in the game. Jamie, just a preview of the video. It's Jonathan Holmes as Freaky Constantina singing about gay marriage.
Amazing. Incredible. I think that for me, one of the things that sets this Mario Kart apart from the others is that for some reason, and I still can't really put my finger on it, I feel so invested in every race, and it's so intense for me. And like towards the end of the race, sometimes I'll like notice that I'm like death gripping the controller. And if I lose at the last second, it's like the worst thing that's ever happened.
I really think it's just that they've just like nailed that balance. And I think it's – did you play Mario Kart 7, Jamie?
No.
Okay. I think it's a process that started in Mario Kart 7. And Mario Kart 7 also had some great track design. I kind of compare Mario Kart 7 and 8 – they're kind of analogous to Mario 3D Land and 3D World in terms of progression. It's like they take all the best ideas but just expand them in like wonderful ways. So I think the core mechanics were like almost perfect in Mario Kart 7. Like I said, that perfect balance between like actual racing skill and well-deployed items. Like green shells feel tactical in this game, I feel like, whereas I would just randomly throw them around in previous games and just hope.
Yeah.
The blue shell dodger you can get in first place. Do you know about this, Jamie?
No.
So if you get the red box with the yellow horn on it in first place, you can use that right when a blue shell is circling around your head to cancel it.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
Just lots of little things that like
game breaker.
They don't break the game, but they don't break the game and they reward skill.
I only play Mario Kart without items. And not Final Destination.
Mario Kart would not be fun without items. Mario Kart is made for items.
Yeah. Despite how much I hate losing at the last minute because I get blue shelled, if that
to be there,
yeah, maybe if that wasn't like a possibility, I wouldn't be so invested in the match. You know,
I think they just nailed that balance between luck and skill, honestly, and I think they had it pretty great in Mario Kart 7, and they just took that to the next level in this game, it combined with some of the best course design the series has ever seen. I think just so many paths.
Yeah. So many paths. That was just like everything about it is great. The music is great.
Oh, the orchestrated music, that always helps. Yeah.
Yeah. Super. I would actually, it's so good that if you like racing games and if you like Mario Kart, like if someone came up to me and they're like, hey, should I get a Wii U for this? I really only want to play Mario Kart. I'd be like, yeah, sure, go ahead. Get yourself a Wii U.
That online mode, if you want to get deep into it, there are people who play Mario Kart, you know, like pro strats. so you can get pretty deep into that scene. It's pretty fun. And yeah, that just having the like a functional online multiplayer, like why did they not? I mean, they did it in 7, but why did they not do it before that, you know? It's so good.
Is this the best Mario game for the Wii U at the moment?
In my opinion, yes.
Okay.
It's so different than 3D World. I loved 3D World. I thought 3D World, it took a while to find its place for me. I think it wasn't as immediately incredible, but I don't know. I really love that game. I think that game, I've already talked about it in the past. I think it did some really incredible things, but it is a good game. It's a really good game.
I was a little disappointed by it. I think it is a great game, fantastic game, and I think that I personally really, I just meshed with the gameplay in Galaxy 2, and I think that this was not the same, and therefore was doomed to be, in my opinion, worse. but it is. The world was fantastic.
Yeah, Galaxy 2, that's superlative.
Mario
one of the best
Kart
games ever made.
Is like the reason to own a Wii U currently, it sounds like.
Sure.
Sure.
But once you get it, you've got some other good games to check out, mostly first-party stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had a ton of fun. I never played Wind Waker, so I had a ton of fun with that. Both Mario games, the 2D one and the 3D ones, are both great.
Yep, they're both good games.
You could get yourself your Assassin's Creed 4 on your Wii U if you want.
Did it come out for Wii U? Or
I'll
just 3?
I'll just double check right now.
You get your Batman.
Oh.
Armored Knight.
Oh, no.
Armored edition, whatever.
Yeah, but you can get a Black Flag on Wii U.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Well, thank God. is it, you guys want to say any closing pieces about Mario Kart 8? Is the expanded roster really impacting the gameplay?
No.
Nope.
How are those Koopa kids?
Don't care.
How's Iggy?
I don't care about
is,
the Koopa
is
kids.
Is Wendy pretty rad?
I'm uninterested in touching the Koopa kids.
Wow, that's good, because that would...
I want to touch them. Just don't want to race with them.
Surprisingly, Pink Gold Peach doesn't make me as angry as I thought it would.
I thought she was awesome.
Yeah. I thought it was really stupid at first, and then I was like, okay, actually, she looks really nice.
She talks with a robot voice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It helps that the textures for Metal Mario and Pink Gold Peach are actually really cool this time around.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that made her not a terrible character. It's Pink funny because... Okay, go ahead, Jamie.
No, you finish up.
Okay, I was going to say, Pink Gold Peach and Baby Rosalina got their debut in this game.
Oh, baby.
Wow.
Woo! I know
quickly,
this...
Jeff.
Oh, go ahead.
What's your favorite course?
Ooh. I'm thinking...
Mine is Bowser's Castle.
Bowser's Castle is great. I kind of like... I like N64 Rainbow Road quite a bit.
Okay. Oh, God damn it.
What?
I hate that course.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I'm not good. I'm not good enough yet, especially on 150cc, to go through Rainbow Road without dying a bunch
gotcha.
Of times.
I also really like the Shy Guy level, the Shy Guy Falls.
That's a great level.
I like Wario... Stadium. I like Electrodrome, I think.
That was Luigi's DMV.
I'll have to go back and check, Jamie. I can't remember the names right now, but God, I love all of them.
Yes.
Pretty much every main game one is great, with the exception, I think Rainbow Road for the new Rainbow Road is shitty. I think it's a really crappy Rainbow Road course. It's a good course, but a bad Rainbow Road. The N64 Rainbow Road is incredible. Hmm. The snow course is actually really good.
Yeah.
I really like the snow course is a three. So Griffin, they have this new thing they started in Mario Kart 7 where some courses, instead of being three laps, are three sections.
Huh.
And the snow course, you start out, you drive out of a plane onto like a mountain and then you go down the mountain. It's really cool. That's a really great level. And you, go through the trees at one point.
Is Wahoo Island a level?
No, Woohoo Island
Woohoo.
Is not a level.
Woohoo.
No.
That's a shame. Missed opportunity right there.
Well, Woohoo Island was a level in Mario Kart 7. So
oh.
Slow down.
Okay, well.
Well, Mako Woohoo was the name of it, actually.
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
of course.
So. Yep. Okay. That's all.
I just want to ask... this may be looking too far into the future, but is this the pinnacle of Mario Kart? I know you know Nintendo always can surprise, but do you think that they've hit the you've got air, land, and sea, and now floaty cars too, no boundaries to a race course. Do you think
Nobo?
What's that?
Nobo.
Yeah, Nobo, bro. Do you think the next step is to just throw open the doors of the roster and you have they go the Sonic All-Star Racing where it's Nintendo All-Star Racing?
Danica Patrick?
Yeah.
Yeah. Danica Patrick.
Samus is Danica Patrick.
Danica Patrick is a character in that game, by the way, guys.
Mario Andretti and Mario.
Guy Fieri.
But you guys... Danica Patrick is in Sonic All-Stars Racing Transformed. You guys know that, right?
No, I did not know
that. She's an actual character in that game.
I so didn't know that, and it's so crazy that I heard you say that, and I was just like, no, he's not really saying that. It's not
but
real.
She's real.
There's a lot of good things about that, too. Isn't Ryo from Shenmue is in it?
Yeah, he's in it.
He drives an arcade cabinet for Shenmue 3.
He drives a forklift. I know that much.
Well, it transforms into an arcade cabinet for Shenmue 3.
That's so trolly.
Yeah, it's good.
I love it. I don't know if this is the end of Mario Kart. I don't think it is. I think they'll do something new. They always do.
Is that what Christian was asking?
No, I'm asking, like, have they exceeded the realm of Mario proper games? Like, is this the end of the Mushroom Kingdom? And now they move into other territories? And is it like, you know, you gotta go racing the Zostar or whatever?
I don't understand the question. The Mushroom Kingdom of Mario Kart is not, it's not anything like the Mushroom Kingdom of, there's no like geographical continuity.
Okay, the Mario cast, did they start bringing in other Nintendo, like, do we have Kirby? Does he get his own fucking cart?
Do you mean will the next game have people like, so you're just asking, like, does the series have nowhere else to go except in going deep on the roster? Or are you asking, like, I don't understand the question. Do you understand, Jamie?
I think he's wondering if there will be, if Kirby's going to be in Mario Kart 9.
Maybe.
Essentially.
I'm just asking, like, okay, so this game seems pretty awesome from all accounts, but it also seems like it's probably reached its peak in terms of, like, the new innovation. So is the next step just expanding the roster and having, like, crazier locations that you can go to that reference other Nintendo things and have other Nintendo characters?
So you mean, like, will there be Mario Kart 8-2 or will there be Mario Kart 9 with all kinds of new shit, essentially?
I'm thinking more like, is it going to be like the Smash Bros. World of Mario Kart racing?
Yeah, where essentially this is all they can do and they're tapped out, right?
Yeah.
And now they're just going to make new courses, new course design. I would say I have no idea.
Okay.
Jamie?
I think that they're going to keep innovating and changing it up. I thought what Griffin's question was initially was, is this going to be the best Mario Kart game? Like, for a while at least. Mm-hmm. And it might be. Like, that's when I was playing Galaxy 2, I was constantly thinking to myself, like, they'll never make a Mario game that I'll like more than this.
Mm-hmm.
And I've kind of been thinking that about Mario Kart as well.
Okay.
Like,
I guess that's understandable. Yeah.
I don't know if they'll be able to, like, the next one, I'm sure they'll tack on some bullshit and it'll just be chaff and, you know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if this game is so supreme from all accounts, do you think Nintendo can realize that and they'll say, okay, we're not going to tack on some garbage where now you've got lava carts that ride on lava. You know, instead they open up the world and the locations and the characters and they innovate on that side with it.
I can see that.
Maybe, yeah. Also, I just wanted to say Galaxy 2 is probably one of my favorite games ever. Love that game.
So good. So good.
Top 5, probably.
Me too.
Wow. Top 5.
Maybe like top one. It's probably the best platformer ever made.
I'll tell you right now, for me it's The Last of Us and then Galaxy 2.
What about Bucky?
Bucky's not in my top 5.
Bastard.
Good game though.
Huh. Well, that's a topic for another time. You guys got any closing? My question kind of fell flat. Do you have anything you want to say, last remarks for Mario Kart Infinity Upright?
It's really good. There's going to be a Mercedes in it. Do you guys see the Mercedes?
What?
What?
There's going to be free DLC over the summer for Mercedes. Did you not hear about this?
What the hell?
No, I did not.
It's a real thing that is happening.
Oh, Jesus.
I know, it really kind of sullies the experience a little bit for me, but not too bad.
And you won't be able to to avoid it because there's going to be tons of jerks online using it, so
yeah,
you're going to see it.
It kind of seems like the only option if I was playing it at that.
I don't know. Whatever. That's all. Jamie, anything else from you?
Nope.
Cool. Griffin, you want me to do the rest of the games I was playing?
Knock them out.
5 seconds or less? Okay.
Yeah.
I played Dragon Quest VIII in the iPad. That's a bad idea. No, it's okay. I mean, if you don't have any other way to play it, it's probably fine. I'm having a hard time getting used to the frame rate. It's got some pretty weird controls. It's still Dragon Quest VIII. It's a cool game. I don't need to say anything else about that. You guys have any questions?
How bad frame rate wise?
Sub 20.
Is there an on-screen D-pad?
Yes.
Yep.
it's designed so you can play it with one hand on an iPhone while masturbating with the other. So it's kind of a weird UI that's not that extensible for larger devices. I don't know how I feel about it yet. It takes some getting used to, that's for sure. So I've just kind of, every time I play it, I'm just kind of vaguely confused. It also was ported over in Unity, which is weird. I don't know. I think they could have done better with it, but maybe they'll make it better. I don't know. Okay, that's all I need to say about that. I also played Baldur's Gate 2 for the iPad. Hey, that's a weird port. Looks pretty cool. I played like 5 minutes of it.
What possessed you to buy that?
It's just a well-regarded CRPG, and I've been wanting to play a CRPG. So I just grabbed it, and I was like, what the hell? I'll try it. And it seems cool. It seems fun.
What is CRPG? What is that?
It refers to, I think it stands for computer RPG, but it refers I'm going to find out right now.
I don't bother.
I've never heard the term either.
It's computer RPG. It refers to like Baldur's Gate, Planescape Torment, all those kind of older style ones.
Infinity Engine based games.
Exactly. Based off like D&D rule mm-hmm. sets. They're really, Baldur's Gate looks pretty sweet. Baldur's Gate 2, that's the one I played. Writing seems really solid. The gameplay seems fun. It's just hard to play on a tablet, which is really frustrating because I was hoping for a better port. But I'm going to give it a little more time later. But so far, intrigued. But sorry, go ahead, Jamie.
I played like all of either Baldur's Gate 1 or 2 with my cousin on PC way back when it came out, like in one weekend.
Nice.
I can't remember which, and I don't remember anything about it because we just crammed it into one weekend.
It seems really interesting from a story perspective. I wanna try more of it, but yeah. The pot, just the iPad stuff. I don't know. I wanna play substantial games on my iPad. That's why I wanna only experience like real games as opposed to like time waster type games. Even though I like time waster games, I wanna really like play substantial things and like justify mobile gaming's existence. So I'm trying to get all these kind of substantial games for my
tablet. Walking Dead Season 2, The Wolf Among Us.
That's on my list, Jamie. Hey, while we're on iPad, I played like 3 minutes of Republic. God, that game is beautiful.
Yeah, really, really good looking game.
Yeah, it is. It seems pretty cool so far story wise, and I don't care that I'm playing a tutorial because it's a fun little tutorial.
Yeah.
I have no complaints yet.
Still on episode one?
Still on episode one. I played like literally 10 minutes and then had to leave.
I'm super glad that you're enjoying it, and that really bodes well for your enjoyment of the rest of the game. I think you're going to love it.
Oh, yeah. Just straight off the bat. Also, Jennifer Hale's in it. Another guy from MGS is in it David Hayter's in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Known actor.
Yeah. Yeah. He what was he in? He did voiceover for a trailer for a movie about he did voiceover for the Holes trailer?
No, he did the movie Wolves.
Oh, he did voiceover for a trailer for a movie I watched for a class that I can't remember the name of, about Mexicans performing labor digitally in the future. It's a good movie.
Was starred in a film called like Geyer Man, where I think it was one of those plastic Japanese robot things.
Oh, like Gacha Man or something?
Yeah, like Kamen Rider sort of a thing.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Also, I remembered what it's called. It's called Sleep Dealer. It's a good movie. You guys should watch it. Anyway, last thing. I played Watch Dogs.
Watch Dogs.
There are two great things that I found in Watch Dogs. Number one, Spider Tank is the best. Spider Tank is, for some reason, you're walking around and there's a dude on the street and he's like, yo, dude, you want to go on a digital trip? Okay. So you talk to him and there's all these choices of digital trips and it's not entirely clear what they do. So you click on one and I clicked on the spider one. And I was a spider on top of a building, and everyone was mad at me. And I just jumped off the building, and I started killing things. And the great thing about this spider is that you can kill things. You don't even have to attack them. You can just walk on them, and they die. And it's just like a stupid little arcade game that is far more fun than it has any right to be. So that's thing number one that's cool. And thing number two that's cool is going either doing missions or going to gang hideouts, which are like little highlighted map spots. And instead of actually ever setting a foot inside the hideout, just taking control of like security cameras and playing the waiting game and just slowly killing everyone in the building without ever setting foot inside. And I think that is what Watch Dogs should have always been. And that's allowing me to eke some enjoyment out of the game. So I will, I'll get more reports as I get farther in the campaign, but.
So I was listening to the Joystick podcast today. And by the way, I think that Joystick, is coming back like as a website. I've been super happy with everything I've read on them recently. The podcast is fun again. I really like Ludwig Kitzman, who's been there for a long time. But that's just an aside. But Ludwig Kitzman was saying that we were all stupid to assume that this was ever going to be anything other than an action game.
Mm-hmm.
And that we maybe thought that because the people who were talking about it were talking with French accents. But we should have known that, like, you're not going to get this quality of a world, of an open world, with this amount of detail in a game that's anything other than a mass market action game.
Mm-hmm.
And that we should be happy with our mass market action game where you are essentially a wizard. And if you think of yourself as a wizard who blows things up, then you'll have fun with Watch Dogs. Do you guys agree with that?
Nope.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think that's silly, just like reactionary scolding of people who, like, expectations is one thing, but a game that is actually, like, not good is another. Like, if you're saying, oh, Watch Dogs could have been so much more, I think it could. I would have liked it to have been, but I can give you bullet points as to what is not functionally well in this game.
Like, I was just going to say that, yeah, sorry, go ahead. I was just gonna say that the parts that I enjoy most in Watch Dogs are the parts that aren't the action gamey parts. I think that if you try to view it through that lens of like, oh, I'm just gonna play an action open world game, then you're not gonna have fun at all.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
I think the only time you'll have any fun is if you just dive into the unique elements of the game and nothing else.
Mm-hmm. And there are better open world games on the market already.
Oh, yeah.
You're saying, well, you should just be happy with this one that has this unique spin. It's like, no, there are better open world games that do it, that do both sides a lot better. Like Saints Row.
That is a great, I love the Saints Row games.
Like, if you want to have a unique open world experience that's not GTA and is crazy zany, go play Saints Row 3 or 4.
Like, yeah, I agree, Griff.
Still got to play 4.
Should play them both.
When is that game going to be $3 on Steam? Damn it.
Probably this holiday, almost good. Certainly.
it's funny worth so much more.
Games go down so fast now. Watch Dogs was $48 over the weekend. Mario Kart is $48 right now on Amazon, or it was anyway.
Race to the bottom.
You hardly have to wait at all.
And my value, my idea of value of a game is completely skewed now.
Yeah.
Like, I expect so much for so little, and I'm just afraid of what this means.
Yeah, like, stop that.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it's you're not a bad person for doing that, because that's what you're supposed to do as a customer. It just sucks that there's been so much downward pressure put on the market.
It's so strange. It's like I come to expect my console purchases to reward me for buying them with titles every month for free. I mean, not for free. I'm paying for them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But like, the fact that the Wii U isn't throwing more free games in my face constantly is like, even though I just got a free game for my Wii U, is like just unsettling to me.
Did you like the survey where they were like, hey, did you guys like your free game?
Yeah.
Did it influence your decision to do this?
Jamie, wasn't that the whole reason why you bought like Shin Megami Tensei 4 or something like that? Because it was like a $20 gift card came along with it?
I've definitely I'm not sure if that game, but I've definitely made decisions like that before.
God,
I thought
damn
that was
it,
that
David.
3DS game that came out, and it was like, if you buy it, it's $45
well,
normally,
right.
But it's a $20 gift card.
If you buy both games, right, you get some discount or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a monster, Jamie.
Yep. It's like this points thing. I'm literally thinking about the points. The Nintendo points.
Dude, I love Nintendo points, but I wouldn't buy games just for them. But then again, I'm just such a consumer whore that
you're already on it.
I'm 95 coins to platinum, and I have like 300 coins in my to-do list right now.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my god.
It's very sad.
What were we talking about before I just started ranting?
Watch Dogs.
Watch Dogs. I think I'm done. Griffin, you want to talk about what you played? And then
sure.
Jamie,
I've got my fill of Watch Dogs as well. Give it a little bit more time and was unimpressed. I played Bastion for a bit because of Transistor, and I still think Bastion is a better game for my tastes. But yeah, Transistor still is really good. I don't know if you guys, it looks like you haven't, neither of you touched it.
Not yet, no.
I played a little bit, but not much.
You should finish it. It's a short game.
Okay.
It's on my list, Griffin.
I
Bastion
realized,
is,
too,
anyway.
I was thinking more about kind of like the theme and the vibe and all that stuff. And Transistor is just Tron Noir. Tron Noir.
But that's why I love it.
You can have that for free. Internet.
Strangely enough, I haven't seen it running on a giant TV yet, but I haven't been grabbed by the certain elements of the art. Like, the animations look weird to me. I don't know. I seem to be the only person who sees
it. No, I can see. Do you mean like when she turns? Like she's running and then she changes direction? It's kind of a little abrupt.
Even her running is just weird to me. It looks very unnatural.
Maybe when you're not streaming it,
yeah,
it looks a little more cohesive.
That's my guess, because I don't think I've seen it really like direct feed yet.
So. It's extremely impressive visually.
Well,
and,
if you're saying it's not 100% like natural and it kind of has this floaty kind of unnatural quality to it, I think that might have been a design choice.
Design choice.
Design choice.
Oh, I see. Okay, thank you for telling me. You should make more design choices like that in your next game. I think I need to see it, you know, not streaming video online and in person.
It's party.
Yeah.
I finished Danganronpa, Happy Trigger, Happy Havoc the other day. And then they announced the date for the release of number 2.
Fat Byakuya. I'm so excited for Fat Byakuya. You don't even know. Here's why I think that this one might be a little better, Griffin.
Because it's
now that they've had a game to develop some characters. Because you know the first game, a lot of them were just dying off. Now they've had a game to develop some of the characters. Some of those characters are coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So at least some of the characters in the game will have been developed.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think they're going to be equally. I think it's going to be just about as shallow as it was last time. So you might want to stay away, Griffin. I am incredibly hyped.
Yeah.
Why would you play these games when there are other comic book games that are even better?
I'll play those too.
I think you're onto something, Jamie.
Well, he's not talking about VLR. He's talking about
right.
Well,
yeah, those American fucking comic book games.
I don't play foreign games.
I don't know what
those
Rice
Turner games out of here. I don't know. What would you call them?
Jamie, I'm very excited to play Walking Dead et al. On my iPad, but I'm already out of space.
Yeah. Womp, did you get a 16 like me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can't bring myself to delete anything yet.
I think the next time I buy an iPad, I will not be buying. Hopefully the next time I buy an iPad, they won't be selling me a 16 gig iPad.
Hopefully the next time I buy an iPad will be a long time from now and I'll break my tablet purchasing curse.
That's so funny because I'm now just resigned to the idea of buying a new iPad like every 2 or 3 years. I'm just like, fine, do it. I'll do it.
I'm going to try to make this one last at least like 3 years, I hope.
You're going to be pushing it. Like I said, I was playing Monument Valley on my iPad 3, and it was chugging. Well, I didn't even know it was chugging until I played it on my new one.
I hate mobile games. It makes me so mad.
Maybe you should just not play iPad games. How about that?
No, because they're so good now.
You have performance PCs that can do them better, and if it's not like a scaled-down, smaller experience, why not just play it on something beefier?
I wish Monument Valley was on PC.
Well, here's what I want. I actually believe in the potential of the iPad as a gaming device with its own unique input style that cannot be replicated on PC. So I actually think that the iPad can do things that a PC can't in terms of gaming. I just am frustrated that it's obsoleted so quickly.
Played Device 6?
That's what I just downloaded, Griffin, not touched yet.
Okay.
I'm very excited to play it, though.
Oh, is that the text adventure kind of situation?
Yeah, kinda.
I'm super excited about that. I saw some footage of that, and
saw pictures, and they look incredible. So I'm that Griffin. I'd love to see some of those kinds of experiences. I just want I want things that feel like they have like a heart, and that aren't just repetitive. I like puzzle games, and I like endless block dropping and everything else, but I want substantial mobile experiences.
Pushmo.
I love Pushmo.
Mario. Something substantial, like Mario.
No, I don't want Mario on my tablet.
Yeah, Mario. So people understand. Like a man's game. Like Mario.
Do you mean Mario?
Yeah,
Shut
like
up.
Mario. Mario.
I agree with
game
you,
for
Jeff,
the working
completely...
man.
No, I think Monument Valley is a perfect example. It's a little short, but it was also cheap. That game has a heart. It has a soul. Yeah, it's a puzzle game, but it also is like design, and there's a world, and I feel like I'm part of something bigger than just match. Like, it's bigger than Bejeweled, and I love Bejeweled. Bejeweled's a great game, but it's bigger than Bejeweled.
And Monument Valley told a beautiful little story without using like words.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it used words, but only like title cards before every level.
Yeah, that speaks to the potential of iPad gaming right there for me. So if I can get more of that kind of thing, sign me up.
And also just like the difference between the older iPad, the older big iPads, and the new iPad mini. I feel like the iPad mini is a gaming device because just of the, at least for my hands, it's much more comfortable to use and it's so light.
Yeah,
that it, especially coming from the iPad 3, which was, I believe, the heaviest iPad. It's a huge difference, and it actually feels like a portable device. Like I can sit outside and play a game, and it's nice. And I look forward to the future of that platform.
Yeah, I agree. So,
well, it's dead, just like this game. Murdered Soul Suspect.
Whoa! What the hell is this game?
It's a game.
Who is it?
It's a game.
Who are you wearing?
I know who killed me. Starring Lindsay Lohan.
Yes. Yes. You are a stripper who was murdered after a night of work at the club. And it's an adventure game, you could call it.
Interesting.
Capital A adventure game, like not point and click, but essentially that. Like very Heavy Rain in your interacting with the world, very simply, but it's also very puzzle based. So like you're investigating clues, putting pieces together, using your abilities to gather more puzzle pieces and then putting them together somehow. Or collecting hot water boilers in.
Do you have a gun?
You don't.
Don't care.
Don't. But you are a white guy. You are
a
white guy.
Well, at least that's, that's something.
Are you bald? Wait, are you bald?
No, you got a good head of hair.
Oh.
And some stubble.
Okay, stubble.
Yes,
stubble.
Yes.
And
okay,
a lot
I'm
of tattoos.
Again.
Are there boobs?
There. Yes.
Okay.
But, wait, can you tell me more about the tattoos?
But
like,
by
how cool
boobs,
are they?
There's a lady, I mean.
Well, she has boobs, right?
Yeah. But they're not prevalent. Like, they're not, like, Drakengard boobs.
Well, what the hell are they thinking?
Yeah, no, it really a missed beat there, a missed opportunity for more ghost boobs.
She has boobs, like, they need to be used as much as possible.
Exactly.
You don't want to waste those assets.
They quickly explain your character as having, like, character and a background by showing his, like, life growing up and how each tattoo represents a pivotal moment in his life. And he's like, I stole money, so I got a flaming dollar sign. I stole cars. I got to go to jail, so I got a clock and a bird and a cage and cars. And then it's like, he found a lady, so now it's the black cross over his heart has two roses over it. And then she died, so one of them is black.
Of course she did.
Yep. And then he's like, now I'm a cop. So he's like, I got a cop tattoo. And then he's like, I don't like being a cop because all the other cops make fun of me. So then he got like a bird tattoo that was like chained to the ground. He's like, I just want to be free, man. And then
you see did you say a burger that's chained to the ground?
God, that sounds good. Yeah. I just want to eat it, but then I'm stuck.
Is he going to get the guys who did this to him?
Yeah, that's exactly.
And make
so
them pay?
That's the first. Yeah, you nailed
okay,
it.
Okay, I'm fully erect again.
Yep. He is like, you know, you grow up on the streets, you feel immortal. You can't. You're untouchable. And he's saying this as he's falling out of a window, and then he hits the ground and the guy pushed him out the window and he's like, I'm gonna get you. And he finds out he's dead and he's in this limbo world. And then the guy comes downstairs and he tries to get back in his body. And then the dude shoots him in his chest a bunch of times. And then you have this glowing orange bullet wound that is similar to the tattoos they just explained. See, right? What? A visual marking that represents a moment in his life or death. So then you start on this gameplay, which is like, you're in the Salem Village, and you know how we can contain, you can walk through physical objects, except if they're consecrated by a priest, so no going through buildings, because all the walls are priest consecrated.
Oh, what a great explanation for why,
like,
you
in real life.
Yep.
For why there are walls.
And then you get into a building, and it's like, everybody, there's like ghosts that are walking around there, and you're like, hey, ghost buddy. And he's like, fuck off. I'm just being a ghost. And then.
Also, they could have just had invisible walls on. I think I would have been okay with it.
No, it's actually, I actually kind of like that because they do something pretty cool with it. Well, I guess pretty cool is a strong word. They change the experience slightly by creating a stealth element, or I guess like a surprise element. So you have your like. Ghost vision, which lets you see through walls and see spirits and humans and whatever. But then there's also like demons that'll pull you into hell and rip your soul apart. But you can like jump around, hide into these like puffy death clouds or whatever, and then you can kill the demons by strangling them from behind, whatever. But it makes if you go into the next room through the wall without looking, there may be something waiting there for you. So that has a purpose at the very least. And I tried really, really hard to like get a really funny camera angle or stuck in a wall or something. And nope, they did some good work with that.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. But beyond that, it's a puzzle game. You're talking to people, finding quote unquote clues, which are like just MacGuffins stuck in every location that you're like, okay, you know, got 7 out of 8 of them. I guess I can move on.
Man.
How's the writing? I'm gonna guess it's terrible based on what you told me about his his past.
It's terrible, but it could be a lot worse. Like, it actually seems like somebody who translated it cares, or at least
wait, it's a Japanese game,
isn't it?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, sorry. Then the writing for it does have some merit. Like, it's nothing phenomenal, but. You know, some of the ideas seem all right. Like, it's fine. It's just not interesting.
So you wouldn't recommend this
Hell
game?
Hell no. This game will leave you flatlined.
Dead in the water.
Hydro Thunder. I don't know.
Also,
I suspect you won't like it.
It's also, made by a U.S. studio, just so you know.
They look kind of anime-y.
Ooh, they made Dark Void. They also made Quantum Conundrum.
Never heard of it.
It's the second game that Kim Swift worked on, the Portal person.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh. It was a free PlayStation Plus download. I have it on my PS3, but I haven't played it yet.
Cool.
Okay.
So that's enough about that. Jamie, you want to talk about Pikmin quickly? You want to shoot your list?
Yeah, I'll go real quick. Pikmin 3 is probably going to be a really good game. I played it using the newly released control scheme, which I did not know was a newly released control scheme, using the touchpad on the gamepad controller and the stylus, which makes it really simple to get all your various Pikmin doing the things that they need to be doing in a timely fashion. I played the first Pikmin game when it came out on the GameCube, and I enjoyed that game. This feels very similar to me. I get the same feelings when I play. Like, it's just kind of a calming kind of experience. Like, I just kind of sit back and I, like, look at the kind of pretty environments and think lightly about how to solve these puzzles. It's not like a real mind bender of a game.
It's always seemed kind of overwhelming to me, Jamie, because of how you have to manage multiple units. Is it challenging to do that?
I have not, since I only played the first mission, I have not gotten to a point where I have to manage multiple groups of Pikmin yet. I never felt that way with the GameCube one.
Okay.
I never felt overwhelmed. And I would guess that with this new control scheme, you won't feel that way. And if you do, it will be easy to gather everyone up and stop feeling that way.
Okay. Just curious.
So yeah, I'm pretty excited to play more of that. Wolf Among Us is fantastic. You guys already know that I love the Telltale stuff, but I think that Griffin, while you may not like the second season of The Walking Dead, I think you may like the second season of The Wolf Among Us. I remember last week.
Second season?
I just mean The Wolf Among Us. Okay. I'm playing this. I just finished the second episode, so that's why I said that. So but,
I hear that it's on, what, 4 now? There's going to be 5 episodes, and the 4 is the weak point.
Wait, there's going to be 5 episodes? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah, they all have five episodes.
5 episodes in a Telltale game?
Yep.
Okay. That's weird, but okay.
This game, I remember last week, Griffin, you were saying you didn't like, one of the things you didn't like about The Walking Dead was that the world didn't seem to have any like cohesive aesthetic. It was just a world. It was just a world with zombies in it. And
I didn't the lack of agency.
Yeah, okay. I don't remember anything about the cohesive aesthetic.
Oh.
That's why I don't like zombie games or lack the of novel agency. Walking Dead.
Lack of agency. Well, I remembered last time, and I guess maybe I'm remembering one. I remember you said, like, you didn't like the world. Like, the world seemed boring. It seemed like a really boring backdrop.
That and there, might have been a different game I was referring to.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll just continue to say what I was going to say anyway, which is that The Wolf Among Us, the world, like, the environments seem more stylized, more thought about, more artistically drawn, and more artfully created than The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. There seems to be a lot of like soul and care put into the world around you and not just the character art and the writing, which makes for a richer experience. And what do you mean by lack of agency?
Like I've said this before, where your decisions don't actually matter.
Oh, they don't. Okay.
Whereas in The Wolf Among Us, if you choose to go to 2 locations, the third option will be X'd out. Like something will happen where if you make some decisions, something will you will miss out in some possibly integral story beats by choosing the or making the choices you made.
Exactly. So time, and this happens often in The Wolf Among Us. That, like you will often. You'll have 2 places that you need to go to, and you have to choose which one to go to first, and that does change the plot because things happen I mean, it's not in real time, but like you chose to go check out this apartment first. While you're checking out that apartment, shit was going down at the other place and you missed it. So you might feel like you make more of a difference in this game. Mm. And also in this game, there are L.A. Noir-esque. Well, I actually don't want to say that because it's nowhere near that level. And I love L.A. Noir, but there's no other game that I can compare it to. So I'll say there's L.A. Noir-esque interrogation scenes where you have some information that you've amassed, and you may or may not have amassed it. You could have missed it when you were investigating a crime scene or whatever. And you have the option while you're interrogating a suspect to be rough with them or be gentle with them and to present them with certain things that you know or not, or to take the cigarette out of their mouth and burn them with it or not. And depending on what you do, the plot changes a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think that is really cool. I have a ton of fun in those sequences. And the writing is just as strong. For me, the most important thing about these games is that the writing is, in my opinion, fantastic. Mm. And that is still the case in The Wolf Among Us. I've played the first and second, and I'm now on the third episode, and I'm really loving it. I never read the Fables comics, I'm bummed out by that. I want to read them, but the story is really engrossing. They really have their cliffhangers down, man. Like at the end of the episode, you're like, oh my God, got to get to the next one.
Yeah.
But that's all I have to say about that. Story About My Uncle is a game that you can play if you want. It is a platformer that is on the internet. Don't play it.
You made a review.
I made a video that sucks because I was worried that people wouldn't understand what I was saying. So I talk like a chipmunk that got really drunk and then is trying to convince you that he's not drunk. That's how I feel like I talked.
No, it sounds more like that NPR angle where it's like, you know, I'm going to present you this story about a game.
Maybe. If I do another one, I'm going to make it more conversational because I played it for Shannon and she was like, what is wrong with you? Like, why are you talking like that? Don't do that. So maybe next time I'll change that up. That's on the internet somewhere. I had fun with that game, but I was a little disappointed. But yeah, there's not much to say about it. Infamous is awesome. I'm loving that game. Second Son is great. Griffin, I just beat the video game boss.
Yeah.
To get the video game powers.
There's a pain in the ass fight.
That boss sucks.
Yeah.
There's a video game boss?
I died three times. Yes, you are transported into one of the powers.
Maybe don't ruin that one.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, good idea.
Not going to tell you.
Should I play this game, guys?
There's a limited amount of powers, and that's a good one.
Yeah, that's okay. A fun one. I don't know if you should play this game, Jeff. I am having fun with this. I'm having a lot of fun. I'm finding myself enjoying the story a lot more than maybe it deserves. But I'm just really enjoying the acting and the cutscenes. I'm really having fun. I'm finding the game oddly addicting.
Yep.
Pretty much in every district of the city that you go to, there are the same missions to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see how if you were a perfectionist, that would become really overwhelming.
It's not really. You can get them as a person who got them all done, you can get them done pretty easily.
Well, once you really develop like one power, you can really like blow through, you can really blow through portions of the city. I'm still at a point in the game where I will start to develop one power and then it will be kind of taken away and then I'll be given another power and then I'll be thrust into the story a little bit and I won't remember that there are other things to be doing. So
that's fine.
I'm sure at the end when I go back and just get everything before I do the final boss, like I'm sure it won't take me very long to get it all done. But I love zapping, guys.
Yeah.
Just love it.
It's a good open world game that has a good angle and does it better than other open world games on the market right now. So Jeff, if you do want to play it, just quit Watch Dogs, make the right choice, and play this because it's a better experience.
It's were you oddly addicted, Griffin, to like getting shards?
Yeah,
like,
I have. Welcome to my world, Jamie. I've been getting shards since 2008.
Every stupid drone shooting them down. It's like I tell myself in my head, like, you should hate this.
Yep.
This should be annoying the crap out of you, mm-hmm. but it's not, and you're a sucker. Yep. But that's okay.
It's because all the right slot machine things are there, where it's like it's just attainable enough. It explodes nicely, and you feel good when you do it, and then you get the thing, and it brightly flashes, and you're like, "Ooh, tingly!" And then
what are you talking about?
You get the reward, and it's like now you can apply that shard to your powers, and it makes the game more interesting in that way.
I know exactly what Griffin's talking about, and I completely agree.
Oh no, I know what he's talking about. It just sounded really sexual.
Fire nice.
That I like about the game, every review that I read of the game said all the powers are the same. They should have just given you one power.
That's a dumb thing.
And that's not true at all. The powers feel pretty, even the first two, which on the face of it seem pretty similar, are not. Mm-mm. I play completely differently when I'm using fire and neon. And the third power that I just got, like, is already like, it's completely different. So I'm looking forward to using that one. I don't know. Does that stay that way, Griffin? Or at the end, did you just feel like they're all the same?
No. It's just, I mean, it's like, okay, everybody has melee. Everybody has projectile A, B, and C. And then you have kind of your unique move one or two. But each one of those has enough variation in it. So you're like, I got the smoke power and my big bombs are heavy, and I got the neon power and my big bombs are fast and precise. So, you know, it's like, how do you like playing more? Like, do you like running, gunning, just blowing things up, running around? Or do you like taking careful aim, slowing down a little bit? I mean, it's that dumb, shitty explanation when people are like, there's a lot of choice in this video game. You can use the handgun or the double handgun. I mean, but it, since it's done so well and it is like your primary interaction, like those little changes do make a difference. And they are limited too.
They feel hugely different. Uh-huh. Like they probably feel more different than it would in another game where the fundamentals weren't as sound. Mm-hmm. But like in terms of, because Jeff, in this game, you can choose to, you know, kill enemies or subdue them, and if you choose to go the path of subduing enemies, the way that you do that varies pretty differently between the powers that you have. So, and it changes it up a lot. So that, like, even though on the face of it, you're going from district to district and doing the same thing over and over again, because by the end of the game, you're going to have four different ways to do that. It feels fresh, even though maybe it's just the same thing. And I was surprised.
Yeah, I only played the first game where you only had one way to blast dudes in the face. I have so many ways now.
I was also surprised to see that in many of the districts, there's like the one central hub of enemies to take down, and they all have the same stupid like generator in the middle of the level, and you get to the generator and you kill the generator and you absorb all the goodness. And I'm saying that as if that's a slog. It's not. It's always fun. But I had come to terms with the fact that this is the way it's gonna be, and the whole game's gonna be like this. But now that I'm a little farther along in the game, I'm at points where that central hub, that central hive of enemies is changing up, and it's cool to see, you know, now I'm fighting helicopters instead of just dudes, and it's fun. It's a great game. And I'll just say really quickly, Towerfall is amazing and super fun with four people, and Sports Friends is amazing, super fun with four people. It's probably like the most like fun, straight up fun I've had in a while playing a full day of Towerfall and Sports Friends with four people. And I played the two secret games in Sports Friends, and they're both amazing. One is like drunk Pong, and like your paddles are drunk, and then the other is like the worst, most annoying like wrestling game ever. But it's also hilarious. And you guys should...
What is it, like quap wrestling?
It's... I can't even describe it. It's extremely simple. There are two 2D characters on the screen. They are being held. They are held together by their hands and feet. And the person who doesn't hit their head on the ground wins. And it's what's the name for those games where the controls? Yeah, quap. Yeah.
So it's like quap wrestling.
I thought you meant co-op wrestling. I'm sorry.
No, quap like it's like Surgeon Simulator essentially.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a great game. I love
Sports Friends?
Simulator. No, Sports Simulator.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. I have to play that because you gave that to me a long time ago.
You should definitely play it. Doesn't take long. You'll beat it in an hour or two.
Okay.
It's also fine just to not play it and watch videos for it.
No, it's fun to play. Funny. You should play it without watching any videos, Jamie.
Okay.
I urge you guys, if you have friends over and they want to play video games and they want, and you have.
Jamie, I don't have friends.
I don't have money.
What are those?
More friends.
Jesus Christ. So I was really excited to play Towerfall with my friends, so I just went and bought two extra controllers.
Yeah, I just went and bought friends.
Friends are expensive. No, controllers are expensive. Jesus Christ.
It's a lot easier to just have sex with them. A lot less.
That's all I have to say.
Yeah, controllers are expensive.
Yes, okay. Perfect.
We did the games. Can we do the predictions relatively quickly? Because I'm fading pretty
Let's
darn
drag
fast.
It out.
Fuck it.
I think the opposite of what you said.
I think we should just go through them.
Let's not try and make too many objections or whatever. Let's go through it. Maybe we can do a little recap at the end or what.
Yeah, so what is this, Griffin? What are we all doing?
The official 2014 E3 predictions by the fine folks here on this podcast. We are going to make five predictions that are specific, not specific. They are not going to be... beholden to a single there's no rules, no holds barred. Quap predictions.
Jeff is screwing with my predictions on the document. This is a sacred
Jeff, stop it. Stop
third
it, Jeff.
Third son.
We're not there yet.
Okay. I'll go through mine here. Actually, how about we each alternate? So like one, then one, then one, then one.
Okay, Jamie Capiche. Has 10. Jamie right. has 10.
And Jamie can do 2 per. All right.
Okay.
Actually, go ahead, Griff. You'll just jump in between Jeff and I, like usual.
Okay.
All right. My first prediction. Nintendo does not announce a new Metroid game at their weird thing at their E3 press conference.
They're all access digital event.
Yeah, during the E3 Direct.
Is the prevailing consensus that they will?
No, nobody's really talking about it.
Reggie wore that pin, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That's why I'm going to counter and say for my first prediction.
Wait, before
Jamie
you get
needs
in.
To go.
Oh, Jamie, go. Yeah.
Mirror's Edge, holiday 2014.
Oh, God, I hope. Okay, here we go, my first. Nintendo does announce an FPS Metroid game for Wii U, developed by Retro. Nebulous release date. 2D Metroid is never mentioned again, and I cry.
Oh, man. 2D Metroid is never mentioned again, like ever?
Ever. This is the end of 2D Metroid.
Ever. Like, what about for the 3DS? What about a 2D, 3D?
I don't know about ever. But
okay.
No, actually, the point of this was... 2D Metroid is all but ignored forever. Yeah, I don't think there's going to be a 3DS Metroid announced. I'd be happy if there was, but...
I think the population would like a 2D Metroid more so than a 3D, but it just won't happen.
That's my feeling.
Is that what you're going for, Jeff?
That was my prediction, so yeah. I'm going to stick by it. I mean, you know, who knows if it actually comes to pass, but that's what I'll say. Okay, go, Jamie. You're going to
Jamie, go. Double up.
New Red Dead is next-gen only. We see actual in-game footage. Takes place not in America.
Takes place in space. In the Space West.
Space. So as you can see, my predictions are not as real as your guys' predictions.
Day one purchase sure. Space Western? Love it.
That'd be great.
It'd be amazing.
My prediction number 2, Project Beast, Internet's favorite Darling is shown at the Sony press conference. However, sadly, it is not related to the Shadow of the Beast, and Shadow of the Beast will never be talked about because most likely those two projects just became the same thing.
So, Jamie, you should probably read your number four first and then read number three after I'm done.
Okay, I'll read number four. There is a Wii U refresh, and it's sleek and app-ish, and it's coming in holiday 2014.
Is the gamepad included? Is it a new gamepad?
There is a new gamepad, but I don't think if they were to do a refresh, I don't think they'd change anything about the game. I don't think despite how much I want them to change the resolution on that thing, I don't think they'd change anything about it.
Well, that wouldn't work though, because old games would not.
Exactly. That's
okay.
Why.
Okay. Anyway, my turn. Star Fox is announced as a digital-only title for Wii U that manages to disappoint everyone somehow.
Can't let you do that, Star Fox.
Ooh, nice burn, Griff. Okay, yeah. Jamie, go.
Star Fox isn't download-only and isn't disappointing.
Counter.
Now we know you're crazy.
Cocky little freak. my next prediction, number three, Microsoft makes good on games promise and announces two not yet confirmed Xbox only exclusive titles.
Huh.
Pretty close to the vest there, but not a lot of humor in that one.
No.
Floating Steve Ballmer head.
Next Tomb Raider takes place in space.
So you think there'll be another Tomb Raider shown, Jamie?
There is going to be the next Tomb Raider show.
A crossover? Tomb Raider meets Red Dead?
Space Redemption?
Space caves and space westerns?
There's going to be an entire level where you use boob physics to open a hatch door in space.
Nice. All right. I should wait on this one again because it responds to Griffin. So, or I can do it now. What do you think, Griffin? Wait on three for you?
Pick whatever you want. No matter.
Okay, I'll do number four. So this is stolen from that leaker NT kernel because I'm cheating, but there's some more to it. So Platinum Games is making something for Xbox One. Teaser video might be shown. And my original idea was that Rare was going to make another Banjo game. But I realized that I'm a dumb idiot and Rare is not getting a second chance and is going to close soon. And then I'm going to cry again.
Just make another Viva Pinata.
I hope, but I don't think they will. I don't think they will. Anyway, so yeah, there's, I guess, two-parter. Platinum Game shows up. Rare just fades. I'm sad. Okay.
New 3D Mario game is shown and is not in
it's
the vein.
It's a Mario.
That's rather a bold claim because the last one came out last November.
But I heard somewhere that they're going to do that.
You think so? Yeah, maybe.
No, I don't think so, but I just heard that.
I know they're working on it, but I don't know if it'll be shown.
And it's not going to be like 3D World.
So when you say 3D Mario game, is it like a platformer, or could it be like Mario Tennis for the 3DS?
No. It's going to be a 3D Mario platformer that is not a new super.
When I hear 3D Mario game, I only think of one thing. Griffin, you just aren't deep enough in the Nintendo fanboy nonsense to understand.
Mario Strikers on Xbox One.
We need to have a lengthy conversation about Nintendo second parties right here, right now.
Yeah, let's go for an hour and a half, and it will all make sense like it did for me.
All right.
Shepherd me, Jeff.
Shepherd me. You're up, Griff.
My next prediction is number four. The Last Guardian is not shown during the Sony press conference. Boom.
Okay, go ahead, Jamie.
New Zelda game is Young Link.
Ooh, I hope so. I like Young Link. Mine is a response to Griffin. The Last Guardian is coming this fall to PS4, damn it.
mine is now just turning into a list of things that I want. New Resident Evil is a third-person game with a stationary camera.
That actually has been rumored to some degree that it's going to be more like Revelations.
Because I feel like they've just run the current formula that started with four into the ground.
You might actually be on the money there, Jamie, believe it or not.
So, well, I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so too.
I would prefer a new Dino Crisis.
Okay, sure.
Well,
Dino Crisis is cool.
All right, my last prediction. Goat Simulator is shown in a sizzle reel somewhere.
E3. I really wanted to do one like, you know, some E3 presenter's pants fall down or something.
Right.
Also, I really want to end with my prediction. And Griffin's laughter, but yeah, okay. I'll go ahead and throw it in whenever. So, okay, Jamie, go ahead and then I'll go.
A new NFL app for the Xbox One allows a football that is thrown in a real game on live TV to be thrown into your NFL game in on your Xbox One.
That makes total sense.
And then when you throw it in the game, it throws back into the game on TV.
Jamie, why are you putting an 11 on there?
Because I have more.
All right. I'll do mine. NFP is rebranded. I put, wahaha, what dogs.
I buy a figure. I buy a figure.
I'm going to
give
you
back. Give me a nice figure.
I'll guard you like a loyal watchdog.
All right, Jamie, what's your closing 10?
I have 11 after 10.
Oh, good.
Infamous Second Son 2, Third Son, direct sequel, more Delson.
I put Third Son in there.
How about Octoroon Son?
Oh, no. Delson was... Jamie, were you excited to play a game with a Native American pro tag?
I was, actually.
Did they mention it at all?
Yeah.
Yeah, they mentioned it.
Oh, sweet.
The first sequence of the game, you are in your, like, lodge.
Oh, that's really, really awesome.
Yeah, and your brother, who's also obviously Native American, is constantly with you throughout the game, and they refer to the tribe and all that.
It's done in a really nice way where they're not just like, get it. He has a dream catcher. See?
That's awesome.
It's fine. It's just like, this is how people live, and that's,
yeah.
You know.
Props.
Yeah.
It helps the story, actually, because you're trying to help the people in your town were hurt by the bad guy.
Okay.
And it's kind of like a, you know, we're doing this for the tribe, which is kind of trite in one way, but it's, you know, it's good enough for an action.
Hey, whatever. Yeah, and it sounds like they weren't too hackneyed with their tribal stereotypes and stuff, so awesome. Jamie, you want to read that last one?
Okay. Shepherd. That's what we are. I already said that last time. Shepherd. And it's going to be exactly what I said last time, which is there's going to be a child and he's wandering through a wasteland, but it's like a futuristic wasteland, and he's got like a teddy bear. And then, like, you know, like there's like a big, heavy armored hand that reaches down and like takes the teddy bear and then like kills the child. And then we're in space, and then there's like a sexy lady and she's doing something. And then, that's it. No actual gameplay.
You can sex those ladies pretty easily in those games.
Do you think we'll see? This is not an official prediction, but I'm just gonna ask you guys. Last time they teased the new Uncharted. Are we gonna see Uncharted footage?
I think so.
Last time they did not tease the Uncharted.
Yeah, they did.
That was during the PlayStation.
It was during VGX. No, it was during VGX.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't have a good memory for these things.
No, it was VGX.
So regardless, do you think we'll see something?
Yes.
Some actual in-game stuff?
Yeah, I think so.
Because of Game Informer recently did a pretty extensive interview with that whole team at Naughty Dog, like talking to Druckmann and... No, not Druckmann. What are the names? Neil...
Yeah, it's Druckmann, I think. And Bruce.
Straley,
I think.
Yeah, and talking with them about how, like, their thoughts are on taking over this project and how they're, like, really... How it may have looked worse than it actually was. I mean, just, like, doing some good press
for that
company. Well, that
wasn't Druckmann and Straley, though. That was just some random people. It was, like, an engineer and someone else granting an interview. You're talking about the interview where it was like, oh, like, what about all those people who left?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that wasn't Druckmann and Straley. That was someone else.
No, they did with Game Informer. They did an interview where they were talking about working with Naughty Dog on Uncharted and their thoughts on how Last of Us is going to influence their next project. And they also said, "Hey, we're going to have another. We have another project in the works right now."
Okay. Yeah, different interview. Sorry.
Yeah. I think that it's in Sony's and Naughty Dog's best interest to show something about that game. Just so people can stop saying that studio's on fire.
Yeah. Do you think Fallout 4 shows up? Despite Bethesda saying otherwise?
No, because we have to have our next-gen Morrowind or whatever. We have to have our next-gen Elder Scrolls before we can get our Fallout.
But they just did Skyrim.
Yeah, the cycle is...
I guess that's true. I was thinking for some reason that they would do like a next gen one.
Plus, they just did the online Elder Scrolls Online, so you got doubled up there.
Yeah,
I guess you're right.
Definitely, they're working on it. The question is just, do they show something at this event? Because they have a game in the Twitch lineup that's unannounced. But is it going to be Bethesda developed, Bethesda Softworks, or is it going to be like Arcane Games next title? You know, like what is it going to be? It could be Prey 2. That was people
God,
talking about
I
that.
God, I wish. But no, that game's long dead.
No, Arcane is working on Prey 2.
Okay, well, it's not the game. It's been confirmed to be not the game that originally was supposed to be, which was the greatest video game conceived in my mind.
Is it safe to assume that some group of people have been working on this game since they finished working on New Vegas?
Fallout 4?
Yeah.
Maybe. I think the same teams... I think there's a lot of cross-pollination between teams. For Skyrim and Fallout.
Okay. I was going to say, if there was more of a separation...
No, definitely not, because New Vegas was Obsidian. Well,
New Vegas was Obsidian, but I'm sorry, I meant Fallout 3 and Skyrim. Because they went directly from Fallout 3 to Skyrim, that team. And then they outsourced New Vegas to Obsidian.
Correct.
And yeah, and then they went directly from Skyrim to... next Fallout game.
Right. So, they were making some pretty awesome DLC, though. For its time, they did 4-5 big, beefy DLCs that really kind of set the tone for what DLC should be for that generation.
For Fallout?
For Fallout 3.
Okay. Mm. Griffin, you didn't like New Vegas, right?
Not particularly.
I love New Vegas. I think it's a much better game.
You just love Matthew Perry.
My favorite book.
So can I assume that some people have been futzing with the new Fallout since Skyrim came out?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
So then they'll show it probably.
Maybe. They just made it. Pete Hines, who's a pretty important character over there, just made a statement saying don't expect to see it for a while.
Oh, never mind.
But maybe you don't expect it, but there it is.
Whoa.
Yeah. What old timey poorly tuned tube radio is going to be playing what big bummer song.
I don't know.
You know how Nintendo treats all of its IPs with too much reverence, and they are so scared to do anything new, and it's like they feel such a burden to get it right that it takes them forever to put anything together. Yeah. I feel like now all of these American third parties are doing that. Because they've reached that status, almost.
Unless they're Activision,
unless they're Activision and they're just like
just or EA.
But I mean, feel like, well, with
Fallout Ubisoft.
And Mass Effect, I feel like
yeah,
they've reached that point where they're like, I feel like they're more afraid than anything. They're
with Mass Effect, and I think that Fallout the series they've earned it. I think that the Bethesda Softworks has earned that. Ability to take their time and be slow with that development because it's huge. Like, you know,
well, they also put out hits. I mean,
yeah, they do exactly. They've earned the right to be slow. But when they showed Skyrim, they're like, this one town is the size of the last game. And you're like, whoa, you like modeled all of DC last game.
Well, I mean, Skyrim is... The land mass in Skyrim was actually smaller than the land mass in the fourth game.
In New Vegas?
The landmass in Skyrim was smaller than the landmass in Oblivion, which is what they compared it to. I don't know how it relates to Fallout landmasses.
Oh, okay.
It's whatever.
Fallout seems pretty small, actually.
Like, yeah, Fallout games are pretty small, yeah.
Yeah.
Relative to.
Yeah.
Relative to Morrowind type games.
All right, well.
Anyway.
Sometimes I just feel like firing up Skyrim for no reason.
It's a great game.
Yeah.
I want to see what the mod scene's turned into. Because people are going to actually be making, like, full campaigns and gameplay mods that actually significantly affect how the game plays now.
Nothing beats Macho Man Randy Savage as a dragon.
Thomas the Tank Engine?
No, Macho Man Randy Savage.
Well, I'm saying Thomas the Tank Engine also exists.
Oh, okay.
But it doesn't beat Macho Man.
No, it doesn't beat Macho Man. There's another really good one, too, though, which I'm going to look up.
I think that wraps our predictions up and our E3 talk, because we are at the edge of the cliff, staring down into the great darkness of 2014's E3.
Griffin, are you ready for taking Monday off?
I am so ready.
And Tuesday?
So ready. I'm going to go play so much Smash Brothers at my local Best Buy on Tuesday.
Are you really?
Yeah. What else should I be doing?
I don't know. Are we going to live stream it, Griffin?
Yeah. Yep. I'm going to take Billy. She's going to get harnessed up with a GoPro and a hotspot. And I'm going to just have her sitting there watching it.
Incredible.
Yes, absolutely. I think, I don't know, we can maybe talk if we want to do some quick podcast post-show thoughts, depending on our schedules, but I've got nothing going on those two evenings, so.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll coordinate.
Yes.
Jamie, what's your schedule looking like?
I'm flexible throughout the summer.
Oh, you sure are.
Yeah.
Loosey-goosey.
Oh.
Wizard sleeve.
Oh my.
All right, gentlemen. Have a good evening. Alrighty. We'll see you.
Delson.
Shepherd.
I want Jamie. Shepherd.
Shepherd.
Jamie, do it one more time.
Shepherd. And instead, it's going to be like that for the infamous Second Son, Third Son direct sequel preview teaser, but it's gonna be someone screaming, Delson!